send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Donna Fike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Just people, it's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Basketball.
Yes.
Let me set this up if I could.
Boy, this is, it's a long time. We've wanted this for a very long time.
For whatever reason, we are infatuated with your grade B Hollywood celebrities.
That's right.
And this guy is king of them. Dick Van Patten. I don't know how long it's been that we've been trying to have him on the show. We've had an ongoing relationship with him.
Yes, we have. We've spoken to him for a number of years.
Through the telephone.
That's right.
You know, we've had good times and bad times with Dick. We've had times when we called him and he was on the tennis court with Doug McClure and he put the late Doug McClure on the telephone with us.
That was a special moment.
And then there have been times when we've called and he said, I really don't want your call today. And who could forget that fantastic message?
If you miss Dick or you miss Pat,
leave a message.
That is that.
That is that. Yeah. We won it when our show originally went syndicated 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to our first radio convention to hawk our show.
That's right.
We wanted a big full-size cardboard cutout of Dick Van Patten.
Yes, we did.
We thought that there would be no better way to advertise the show than with the face of everybody's favorite dad from TV, Dick Van Patten.
Sure. Now we don't have a cardboard cutout. We've got the real article.
Yeah, so let me bring him in without any further ado. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you the star of Eight is Enough. Many great Mel Brooks movies. Years commercials.
Yes, those window commercials, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Magic Cards.
That's right. Yeah.
Here he is, Dick Van Patten.
Yeah. Hey. Thank you. Finally, at last.
He finally makes it to our studio.
I can't tell you. All over the people, everywhere I go, people come up and say, your daughter, Mike, we're talking about you tonight.
You know, Dick, we have had an ongoing fascination with you.
I know.
For the longest time. You know, we've tried to call you at home, and you were very gracious when we would call you at home, and you would take our telephone calls.
Yeah, but so many times you missed me. I always felt bad. I'd come home, you know, about 6 o'clock, and I'd hear the message that you left. I said, oh, shucks, because I always answer the phone. I love to get phone calls.
Yeah, you were very nice, and we had a chance to meet your wife on the telephone. As I was just saying, one time you were playing tennis with Doug McClure, and you put Doug McClure on the telephone.
Doug got on the phone, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think over the years, we haven't missed a birthday. We haven't missed one of your birthdays.
December the night, you always call
we
me.
We call
know,
you
right?
Every time we always do that.
But this December the 9th, I was in Chicago. That's why you missed. I was doing that show, Showboat. You know.
Oh, and kudos on that.
I was there for 8 months. Yeah.
That's right. Wow. Now I understand you were also just on Rosie recently.
I was on last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was very nice. A lot of people watch that show too.
And you're going to be on what, Sally Jesse now?
Tuesday. Yeah.
Tuesday. Could you mention our names?
Of course I will. Now wait, I'm doing it Tuesday, which means that they probably won't show it for about 2 weeks.
I don't care. Any publicity is good publicity, Dick.
We have waited for this moment, Dick. We have waited so long to get you in our studio, and you're finally here. Welcome to the Don and Mike.
Dick Van Patten, everybody.
Hi. Well, I'm excited about it, too. You fellas have been very nice to me and my family, and to Eight is Enough, and I appreciate it.
Who is my favorite Van Patten? As I've always said, of your children, Nels would be my favorite of the Van Patten boys.
Well, you know, some of the people out there will remember, I was on a show called I Remember Mama from 1949 to 1958, mm-hmm. 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the teenage son called Nels. And he was born while I was doing that show, so I named him Nels.
Oh, really?
Already?
It was a lucky name for me.
A fact we would not have known about Dick Van Patten right there.
Tell me about Vince. Tell me about the tennis player?
He was a professional tennis player for 10 years. In August, he always always played the big tournament here in Washington, D.C., where he said the humidity killed him, but he loved it. But he was on the tour for 10 years. He was always in the top 40. He was down to number 20 in the world. He beat McEnroe twice. That was the biggest thrill of my life, is when he beat McEnroe. And now he wrote a movie that's on HBO right now called The Break. He's starring in it, and he wrote it, and it's on HBO right now as we speak.
See, the Van Pattens are hot. They have something in those genes.
It's a showbiz conglomerate, your family, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
you like them, too. They're all very nice, down to earth. None of them take themselves too seriously, and we have a lot of fun.
We know since you're here, you don't take yourself too seriously either. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here. You know that.
Have you seen the outfit that we plan on dressing you up in tomorrow?
Yeah, okay. I'll do it.
He's the man. Well, you are the king of donkey basketball. You're serving as the king of the entire event, but also as the coach of a very attractive team that we are going to be playing tomorrow.
Yes, they're all women who listen to our show, and they're all going to be wearing bikini tops.
And that's my team.
That is your team.
That means you'll be able to huddle with them, you know, and give them coaching.
Great. I love that.
We're going to rig it so we win.
I respect pretty women. I don't even care if they're dumb as long as they're pretty.
Well, then I think you're going to be pretty happy with the group that we have for you. We couldn't be happier that you're here. I understand that you had some problems getting here last night. We were very upset. You know, we saw that there were severe thunderstorms in the area, and we thought, God forbid, something happened to Dick Van Patten, because we thought you were going to call us yesterday. And then we got the word from George, the guy who drove you here.
Yeah, he's very nice.
Yeah, he said, hey, listen, you know, Mr. Van Patten has had to go to Philadelphia. They took you up to Philly, huh?
I landed in Philadelphia, and then I was supposed to catch a plane from Philly to National Airport here, and the flight was canceled because they said they had dangerous storms here, dangerous rainstorms.
Right.
So then I said, well, how do I get here? They said, well, don't worry, we'll have a bus for you. So I assumed that'd be fun to ride on a bus, look at the pretty countryside.
You poor guy.
But I had to wait 3.5 hours for this bus. I had to sit there. It was so boring. I sat in that plane station for 40 hours.
Why did you scream, I'm Dick Van Patten?
No, but this is...
I'm Mr. Bradford.
So then I get in the bus, and now it's all dark. I can't even look at the countryside. Because, you know, I love the country around here. It's so pretty, rolling hills and everything. But it was dark. It was 3.5 hours in this bus and traffic and everything.
Anybody bother you on the bus, Dick? Nobody bothered you?
Everybody was. A lot of people recognized me, you know, from TV. Because TV is a very powerful thing.
That's why we love you.
And, you know, I gave them autographs and everything. And they were all very nice. We became like a family on that bus. You know?
I was very excited when I came in today and Rob showed me the headshots that you brought, the publicity photos, because... Are they the same? The one that I saw is the Durashears.
That's a great
picture.
He also brought the 8 is Enough headshot.
Oh, great.
Yeah, a variety of... And here you go, Mike.
Oh, wow.
Look at this. Some photos of Dick Van Patten.
Gosh,
we've been waiting so long. I don't want to say we've stalked you, Dick, but we have stalked you over the years.
Okay, there you go. Slightly younger Dick Van Patten.
Yeah,
right,
I know.
Okay.
That was the day I got my star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Wow. Yeah.
But the other one, see that picture there that you have? That's from a series that I did after 8 is Enough.
What was that called?
I did this. It was very, very good. You would have liked it. It was called WIOU. It was only on the air on CBS, the 17 shows. It got great reviews. But it was all about you fellas, about, you know, it was backstage of a radio station and everything.
And what did you play, the general manager?
I was the weatherman.
You were the weatherman?
The weatherman that was going blind.
Where are you in this picture, chronologically?
That's from 8 is Enough, the day that I got married on 8 is Enough.
Look at that.
That got a tremendous rating.
Well, you remember what happened. They replaced the mom.
She really died.
Yeah, she really passed
Diana
away.
Hyland, after our fourth show, died. And I thought that would be the end of the series. But then they had Betty Buckley come in, and she replaced her, and they had me as a widower for about 6 months, and then I finally married Betty Buckley, and that got a tremendous rating, that show, one of the highest ratings ever.
But here's the Durashears picture,
here's
Mike.
Your pal.
Durashears.
Did you know this? When I was doing that commercial, remember I used to cut a penny in half?
We have the tape of that. We have the tape of you can cut a penny in half.
Listen, you won't believe this. I'm in Chasen's when I was doing that, and I'm walking out of Chasen's, and Mike Wallace is sitting with Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan. And this is the truth, I swear. And Nancy Reagan says to Ronald, she says, oh, look, Ronnie, there's the one that you like. And you see, this is the truth. So he gets up, Ronald Reagan, the president, he gets up, he comes over to me. He says, you little rascal, do you know what you're doing? He says, you're breaking the law. He says, you're cutting pennies in half. He said, that's illegal. But he was nice. He was kidding about it. You know. But that's true. I couldn't believe that the president actually watches me doing that. You know?
Sure, Mommy. Hey, Mommy, there's the man from TV.
Now, you've done a lot of these. You've done the Durashears. How many of you? you that you've done. Now, the windows.
The windows. I've been doing those for 10 years.
You're still doing the window commercials?
Don't forget the magic cards.
Oh, now, see, you've seen that. I have not. You've seen the magic cards.
You named all three. Those are the three commercials. But they've been going on and on for years.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah. What about when you were in High Anxiety?
Yeah, that was a good picture.
High Anxiety. You win.
All right. Now, Mel Brooks, who's a very good friend of ours. We play tennis every Sunday. He says that that's his best picture. He said the public passed over that picture. He said that's the most underrated picture of his.
Yeah.
That's his favorite.
That's our favorite, too.
He claims, he had just done Young Frankenstein and the 12th Chair and the Blazing Saddles and everything. He was making a big fuss. So he said that the reason that they overlooked it was they were expecting something so great, for that was when Mel Brooks was at the height of
it. Sure,
Mel
Brooks. When he was at his hottest.
He said that they were expecting so much that no matter what he showed them, they were going to be disappointed because it didn't do that well, High Anxiety. Mm-hmm. And now people realize it is a very funny picture.
Are you kidding me? You got Cloris Leachman, and long before Madonna had those those traffic cones as boobs, Cloris Leachman had that look. You got Harvey Korman in that movie.
Yeah,
we love that.
Now, remember Cloris Leachman had a slight mustache?
Yes.
That all happened by accident. I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
We start shooting. The first scene we start shooting is 7 o'clock in the morning, and the very first day of shooting is the scene at the dining room table. You know, we're all sitting around the table.
Yeah.
And just as Mel Brooks said, okay, action. Cloris said, no, hold it. Wait a minute. She said, I think it would be very funny if I have a slight mustache. And Mel Brooks said, what do you mean? She said, it would be very funny just to have a very slight, very subtle. And so he said, you're right. Hold everything. So they went up and they got to make a voice. But, I mean, if she hadn't spoken up at that moment, it wouldn't have happened. But
you've been plugged into to Hollywood for years and years and years, and you have a lot. You hang out with a lot of Hollywood people. And who are some of your best friends out there?
Well, I guess Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner and Alan Alda. They're over at my house every Sunday.
Hey, you know what question?
17 years.
You could probably answer. You brought up Carl Reiner, and he was the guy behind Dick Van Dyke.
Yes, that's right.
Let me ask Dick Van Patten. Can we both agree that this man is a great arbiter of talent?
Absolutely. We've had a long-running debate on this show, and go ahead. Ask the. You know, I know you're asking because I know you think you're going to come in on the win column, but you never know.
All right.
You never know.
Who's funnier, Dick Van Dyke or Jerry Van Dyke? And you can't cop out and say that they're both uniquely talented.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can't see this.
Yeah.
He's giving this a tremendous amount of thought right now.
If you had to pick one, Dick, who would you pick? Who's
That's
funnier?
A very good question. I play a lot of tennis with Jerry Van Dyke.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you, who's funnier?
Damn.
You know,
Personal feelings get into this, Dick.
It's like saying, which child do you like the best? They're both very... I can't... I know you want me to say
you must pick
funny.
One.
I think that Jerry is more of a clown, and I think that Dick Van Dyke is more physical, but they're both so good, you can't separate
them. But if you had to pick one, just to say one of these guys is funnier, and then we could let it go and we can move on.
Let me put it to you this way. If you're in a room, all right, say, and I'm sure you've socialized with both these guys.
Oh, very
right?
much. You pick two guys that I'm very close
to. And I'm going
to
say it this way. You're having a get-together. Who's the funniest guy in the room?
In a room?
Yeah, in a room.
Oh, Jerry Van Dyke.
Jerry! Hold on.
In a room, Jerry Van Dyke.
Yeah, because he'll light his farts on fire or something.
No, because Dick Van Dyke is a very private guy. He's not funny on the screen.
Of course. He's a very
private guy. But Jerry Van Dyke is a true clown. He'll have you in stitches in a room.
You're losing me.
All right, then you got Jerry Van Dyke is funnier.
Don has fallen on the floor. This is our long-running debate. Don is an enormous fan of Dick Van Dyke.
I am too.
I love Jerry Van Dyke. I've always loved Jerry Van Dyke.
I am crushed.
No, but Dick Van Dyke, I'm a fan too. His birthday is December the 13th.
God.
Hey, he knew his birthday. He knew Dick Van Dyke's birthday.
I worked with Dick. I played his boss for 2 years on the Dick Van Dyke show.
Did you hear that? He played his boss for 2 years.
And there's no loyalty there?
No. I think he's wonderful, but you're saying in a room, he would be so quiet.
No. Mike O'Mara said in a room because he had to tilt the question.
He tilted it. Well, then it's tilted.
All right.
But Jerry Van Dyke is funny at a party. Forget I said it.
he's fallen. Don has fallen on the floor again.
All right.
But Jerry Van Dyke can get very cranky, too.
Yes, of course he can. Yeah. I could imagine. I could only imagine.
Oh, this
is great. He's a very good tennis player, Jerry Van Dyke.
Mm-hmm.
He has a bad leg, and he drags it around and everything, and he plays good tennis.
Who in showbiz does not make your list of people you like? Is there someone in showbiz that you had a feud with?
Oh.
Anybody that rubs you the wrong way?
No, actually, I can't say that. I don't see the humor in Howard Stern. I don't see the humor.
All right. Well,
I don't think
maybe someone who's not a disc jockey.
But I was on his show, and he was very nice to me and everything. But I don't quite get the humor.
Oh, he's a good guy.
He is good.
Well, you probably should listen to the rest of our show today. You should probably turn on a beautiful music station when you leave the building. Besides him, someone who maybe is a television actor. You know, who am I thinking of who might have been?
Or, you know, some of the big executives, anybody? Because you seem like such a...
How about Maddox? You ever have any... you ever had anything going with Maddox?
Oh, yeah, he's the nicest guy.
Oh, he's a nice guy?
Nicest guy.
There's only four people in
William,
the that are Armenian.
The late William Conrad. No, not William Conrad.
Cannon?
Cannon.
He was very heavy.
He was good?
Very heavy.
Very nice guy. Very nice guy.
Very heavy.
I've got to get you to say something bad about... Are you friends? You friends with Ed Asner?
No.
Not so much.
I can sniff him out. You know
why? I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I respected him so much. I thought he was so terrific. And he is. He's a wonderful actor. And I did that thing, Network of the Stars. Battle of the Network Stars.
Right.
He was representing CBS and I was representing ABC.
That's so funny you did that show.
And I was the captain, you know. And he was the captain of CBS. He was a sorehead. I thought it was again. He was mad.
That's
we
good. That's good.
So I finally find some guy, right?
What about Frank Gorshin? Have you ever had any deal?
I worked with him. I did a movie with him in Barbados last year.
Did you find him to be testy at all, cranky at all?
No, he was very nice to me. Very
okay.
nice.
You know, he's selling Dixie Cups now?
But let me explain. He was the greatest impressionist, and then he sort of went into acting, and he sort of forgot the impressions, and then he don't see or hear him.
No, he doesn't do that anymore.
How many times were you on Johnny?
17 times.
Wow. Hey, 1700. Wow. Kyle! That show.
We were talking about it one time in the old days of Johnny, when everybody really looked like they had an absolute hoot on that show. I mean, in the early days when you get guys like George Gobel and Bob Hope when he was younger and those, and everybody's out there partying and having a good time. Was it as much fun as it looked in the old days?
Yes, he was very slick. Carson was very good. He was so professional at it. You know, he just.
I'm a modern day Johnny Carson.
I love Merv Griffin too. I thought Merv was great.
Ooh, Merv.
Ooh.
That's our impression of Merv. Ooh, Merv.
So I think the more you get to know me, the more you're going to find that I'm pretty much a mirror image of Johnny. I'm a little fatter than he is, a little balder than he is, but I got a lot of that same good stuff that Johnny had.
You know who Johnny Carson is, who has the same face as Johnny Carson?
Who's that?
Nobody will know. But the jockey, Bill Shoemaker, has the same face, the same exact face. They look exactly
Did you ever tell Johnny that? Did you ever bring that up to Johnny?
He said other people have told him.
Yeah,
I did
yeah.
tell him, yeah.
Okay, all right.
And when you leave us tomorrow after Donkey Basketball, I've been told that you're whisking off to Vegas. You're going to be in the front row for the Tyson
I'm going
fight?
Back and forth. I'm going to I'll be at ringside with Jenny Craig's husband, Sid Craig, at ringside tomorrow at the big fight. And then I have to go Sunday to see Jenny Craig's horse run, a horse called Different at Hollywood Park in the eighth race at Hollywood Park that they think is going to win. So,
do you like horse racing? Do you know
horses.
Tim Conway? Because he's into that,
Tim
too.
Tim and I at the track together every day. Yeah.
Just, you're plugged into that group. I mean, of people that we all grew up with, the funny group of people. And are most of them the same as what you see on TV, like
Tim Conway's a great wit.
He was great on the show.
Man.
We had a good time with him.
Oh, yeah, we did have him on our show.
He was
pretty funny.
He was very funny.
He's a cute guy.
When you've got all these things going on, and you fly in to do this, and then you're going off to Vegas to the fight, and then you're going to see this horse race at Hollywood Park, when you're mentioning your itinerary to some of your friends, I'm curious to know... How you did you gloss over this Donkey Basketball thing? Did you say, listen, I got a gig in D.C. and blah blah blah? Or have you actually told people that you're going to be the king of Donkey Basketball?
Nice, I was supposed to leave here Sunday, and then when I told you about the fight, you said, well, we'll let you leave right now.
Sure,
ringside for Tyson Holyfield.
That was very
nice
of you, and I appreciate it.
But have you
already committed to this? You know,
have you told anybody that you're doing this, or do you just gloss over?
I told everybody. I'm telling you, I told everybody about Don and Mike, and it's for the Children's Hospital.
That's true.
It's a good deal, you know.
That's right. It's all for the Have a Heart campaign at Children's Hospital.
Well, you're at the top of the list.
No, you're the greatest.
I don't believe him for a minute.
Neither do I. Well, listen, Dick, we know that you had a tough time getting here last night, and we want you to be refreshed tomorrow, because tomorrow you are the king of Donkey Basketball.
Oh,
and there's your beverage there.
Is that your regular beverage, regular Coca-Cola? Is that always what you drink?
I've never had a drink in my life. Not because I'm against drinking. I wish I could get drunk. It'd be fun. But I hate the taste of liquor. It's like medicine to me.
Right.
And I love Cokes, either Pepsi or Coca-Cola, either one. And I drink so many of them, about 15 a day.
Wow. That's how you keep your energy level.
I guess so, maybe.
Right.
It's a real mellow drink you should have sometimes. It's something called Sambuca. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah, with the licorice taste.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It smells like licorice, but then...
that'll make you puke. Yeah. Tonight you are going out to eat with Rob Spiewak.
Chinese food. He said, do you like Chinese restaurants? I live for Chinese food.
Rob, what restaurant are you taking him to, Rob?
For some reason, the Chinese food in L.A. is not as good as Washington and New York.
Are you taking him to Peking Gourmet?
I would take him there. Actually, I have reservations at a place that's closer to his hotel, and it's just as good. Almost.
You sure?
Take him to that Japanese place.
Guess what?
Wait
a minute. Guess what? The last time I came here, strangely enough, I was with Doug McClure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Maureen Reagan.
Uh-huh.
The president's daughter.
I said, you're going to Washington? I said, yes. And I said, what's a good Chinese restaurant? And she told me one.
Peking Gourmet.
It was right in town, right in downtown
Washington.
Like,
that's just a restaurant you
like. Played the National.
It's the best one. It's the
about
best
8
one.
8 blocks of the National Theater.
Oh, okay, that's not it. Probably Chinatown.
We live in the suburbs,
which
means
Chinatown.
We never go downtown. You know, we're scared, so we eat out in the suburbs all the time.
Is it a good one, Rob? Now, come on, I know how you choose your restaurants. Most of the time, it's cost-effective.
It's a huge portion.
No, take Dick to that. Do you like Japanese? Take him to that Japanese place that my wife and I go, and that Japanese. We go with Buzz. You don't like Japanese?
I do. I love Japanese.
That's great.
But let me tell you something. You know the National Theater, right?
Yes.
Well, now, you know, I was a child actor. I started at 7 years old.
Let me plug your book here, Dick.
Oh, thank you.
Hold on, I have a copy.
I didn't bring this up for you to plug the book.
I know, but I just give it to you here. Launching Your Child in Showbiz, a Complete Step-by-Step Guide by Dick Van Patten. And there you got a picture of Opie.
Right.
Look at that. And who's that?
That's Shirley Temple.
Oh, that's Shirley Temple. And who's this? That Punky Brewster?
Exactly.
Right. On the cover of the book.
That's a guide for anybody who wants to get their kids in show business.
Right, because I was a child actor. I started at 7 years old. Right. And I was in New York. And before shows opened, I did 27 plays in a row on Broadway as a kid actor. Mm-hmm. And before we go to New York, you have to try the play out at the National Theater in Washington. So this was like a second home to me. But guess what happened to me once?
What?
You'll be interested in this.
Okay.
I'm in a play in 1942 called The Skin of Our Teeth.
Uh-huh.
It hadn't opened yet. It was one of the biggest hits ever written by Thornton Wilder. But it hadn't opened yet on Broadway. And we come to Washington, D.C. before we come into Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the telegraph boy. And I'm on the stage with Tallulah Bankhead. I was 14 years old. And she comes in. All of a sudden, these two big fat ladies walk out on the stage and take me by the arm and drag me off the stage. They pulled me off the stage because in Washington then, you had to be 16 to be
child
on the stage.
Child labor law. Yeah.
And they pulled me off the stage, and they had to ring down the curtain and start the play again. And
wow.
So they didn't have an understudy for me because he was 14 years old, too.
They didn't take
you
anywhere,
did they? So they had to have some man go out and read the script and play like he was a telegraph boy. But I'll never forget the National Theater in Washington, D.C.
So you've got some memories here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, a lot.
Hey, look at some of the pictures he's got in this book. He's got Michael J. Fox. He's got that kid from Home Improvement. And then he's got our friend, Butthead.
Oh, that's it. He was on our show a long time ago.
This guy used to be a friend of
Hervey.
Jason Hervey
did our show four hours on our
show. Butthead on the Wonder Years.
That's right.
Well,
yeah.
Can I give a telephone number if people want to get this?
Sure, Dick.
If they have a child that wants to be in show business, if you know, not to satisfy their own ambition, but if the kid wants to do it.
It's interesting the way you put that. If they have a child that wants to be
in show business.
There's
nothing worse than some aggressive stage mother pushing some kid into it that doesn't want to do it.
Okay.
But if they have a child that wants to do it, they could get this book, Launching Your Child in Show Business, and it's a real guide, and it does help them. It gives all the casting directors and all the agents across the country. Anyway, they could call this number, 888-CALL-GPG.
I am amazed at Nellie Olson. You got a before and after picture. You remember Nellie Olson? Her dad ran the mercantile there in that little town that the Ingalls lived in? See, this is her when she was a little girl, when she had those pigtails.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Look at her now.
Whoa!
Pretty cute, huh?
Is she still in show business?
She's still around. Yeah, she still works a lot.
Yeah, pretty hot. Well, that's a great book. And listen, we'll let you go and get to your hotel and rest.
Tomorrow,
we will work you like you've never been worked. We're going to work you harder than Mel Brooks.
Okay.
We're going to work you harder than when you worked on Eight Is Enough. And you were the editor of a newspaper in Sacramento on Eight Is Enough,
never
right?
shot a show up in Sacramento.
Wow. I only mentioned that because we're on in Sacramento.
Yes, we have a lot of fans of yours and fans of the show at KHTK up in Sacramento, California.
So we just wanted to say it's great to... there's his coronation.
Can you hear that music, Dick? That is your official coronation music. Dick Van Patten, the king of donkey basketball.
It's great to have you with us, and we will see you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
Get
ladies and gentlemen, Dick Van Patten.
Yeah. Go get rested up for your dinner with Rob A. You're the man. Take him somewhere nice, Rob.
Yeah, Rob, make sure that's not a cheap place. Is it?
No.
You sure?
Bye, Dick. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You pay, Rob. Okay? Get some petty cash.
It's the restaurant close to his hotel and conveniently close to my home.
Oh, hey, he was pretty cool.
That is cool. Yeah. That's fun, boy. This is going to be goofy.
He's pretty laid back.
Yes, he is.
Mr. Dick Van Patten. Mr. Dick Van Patten.
Mr. Plugged In to the Hollywood scene for years and years and years.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know, I knew we would have an instant rapport with him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. You can tell already. He's going to enjoy that. You know, you knew right away. We had to ask him right away. The uniform. Now, if you're coming out to Donkey Basketball, you're going to witness this. You're going to see this uniform. We've got the King's uniform for him, yeah. And you're going to love it.
And you got to see the scepter. The two-headed scepter. It's this big, huge, look like a Mardi Gras stick. And on top of it, a real-sized donkey head.
Wow.
And Dick will be throwing that thing around the Showplace Arena tomorrow morning starting at 11 o'clock.
Oh, it's going to be great. We're glad he's here.
Yeah. Hey, that's nice, huh?
Yeah, that
nice
is
guy.
Wonderful.
You know, you call a guy for years and years and you harass him on his birthday and it's nice. He finally turns out to be a pretty decent chap.
Mr. Van Patten, I'm Rob Bay. Would you mind picking up the check for dinner?
Don't bet that won't happen. Oh, I seem to be short. I believe that I left my wallet in my other coat.
You're such a big Hollywood star for years and years. I was wondering if perhaps you could pick up the tab.
But you know, Rob A., it'll be a perfect dinner because it'll be all about Dick Van Patten because Rob will be able to talk to them all about that. Remember when he said he was on a TV show like in 1945 or something?
This dinner out for Rob is one of the greatest things that's ever happened to him.
Yeah, it'll just be an evening of Dick Van Patten.
Sure. Rob
featuring Robert Spiewak. Just don't you tire him out, Rob.
Yeah.
I want Mr. Van Patten in bed by 11 tonight.
Don't exhaust the man.
And I want him up and in his uniform tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Ready to amaze us all as the King of Donkey Basketball. Because he's Dick Van Patten. All right.
All right, boy. I feel like there's everything is off and running now.
Pinocchio, you are a real boy.
This is going to be cool.
Dick Van Patten. Did you check out his threads?
Yeah, he had those slick-looking threads, didn't he?
Very nice.
Yeah. Dickie Van Patten.
Put together, as they say.
Left some of his promo pictures with us.
Yeah, I've got stack of Durashear's pictures right here.
We will be we'll be putting them up on the walls right next to the pictures of Big Red.
They can cut through a penny.
All right.
Ronnie says he wants to meet the. Yeah, don't think that didn't happen. He was sitting there. Reagan sitting there going, tree or mommy, man from TV who cuts penny. All right, the great Dick Van Patten.
Wonderful.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Look at you. You used to be so cocky. You were going to go out and conquer the world. You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. What are you but a warped, frustrated young man? Miserable little clerk crawling in here on your hands and knees and begging for help. No securities, no stocks, no bonds, nothing but a miserable little $500 equity and a life insurance policy. You're worth more dead than alive. Why don't you go to the riffraff you love so much and ask them to let you have 8,000? You know why? Well, because they run you out of town on a rail. But I tell you what I'm going to do for you, George. Since the state examiner is still here, as a stockholder of the building and loan, I'm going to swear out a warrant for your arrest.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're not only bastards, they're tasteless bastards. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
The moon is right.
Ladies and gentlemen,
serious up.
The king of all doggy basketball.
I think I have a hernia. Dick Van Patten.
Here he is.
Look at his outfit. It's really Dick Van Patten.
As you can see, these burros are extraordinarily cooperative.
Look, we really did not know what we were getting into when we did this. And hey, can you check it out? Rudy gave us more of these idiotic Rudy hats to wear today.
There you go. Rudy, stand up and take a bow, Rudy. Rudy Marsky from USA Today.
Hey, Rudy, my guy.
Couple smattering of booze there, guys.
The only booze is in your stomach, Rudy.
Man. 12 o'clock somewhere, Don.
There's a time-tested tradition at any of our athletic events. The one, the only, Dennis P. Murphy, accountant, is going to sing the national anthem for us. And to make sure that he does it right, you'll notice up here on the big screens, we will have the words for Dennis.
All right.
Dennis Murphy.
Thank you.
Can you turn Dennis's microphone on? Yeah, everybody please rise. For the
singing stand up, folks.
Of our national anthem.
Ready?
Ready, go.
Oh, can you see by the gong of the light what so gladly we sail at the twilight fast gleaming across life and bright stars through the pale of a sky. All the lamps we watched were so gallantly gleaming, and the rockets flared clear, the bombers singing as they flew through the night. At that our flag was still there. Oh, say.
Very well done. Did not miss a word.
And I think it was a very smart move to put the words up on the board because you remember the recent, a couple of years ago at the Don and Mike Bowl, Dennis forgot the words.
One, two, three, ass! Well, listen, let's turn this over now to Larry and Rudy.
Two fantastic sports play-by-play dudes.
Because we are going to mount our burros.
All right, sellout crowd here at the Showplace Arena, Rudy, for this exciting talkie basketball game between the busty Bikini Burro Babes and the Don and Mike Show team, 2 15-minute halves. What do you think is going to be the key to this game, Rudy?
I think it's just the busty babes mounting their donkeys there. That'll be the highlight of the show. After that, everything goes downhill, I think.
All right, well, are we ready to mount? We need to be ready to mount before we get this game underway. Of course, cheering is encouraged here at the Don and Mike Donkey Basketball Game. Don Geronimo preparing to mount the donkey. Having a hard time getting set up here.
He's on a chair now. Is that a chair out there that Don's going to use?
It's a chair.
I think it's a chair. Only women use chairs to mount donkeys.
The donkey is not a willing participant, Rudy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I think now the manager, the trainer here, mentioned he was giving out specific donkeys to specific people. I think there was a reason why he handed Don that one. Wait, Mike's up. Wait, where's Budge?
Game is ready. Game is underway.
Wait.
Underway. Yes, this talking basketball game is underway. The ball bouncing towards the Don and Mike goal.
Oh, that's Deborah over there.
Deborah's got the basketball.
Which one is the ball?
Deborah's got the basketball. Don still to mount that donkey.
Yeah. Don is.
Deborah has a wide open pass to the hoop, and she passes it off.
Yes.
They're going the wrong way with that donkey.
Now, does Don get penalized if he's not up in that donkey in a minute?
Is that Deborah again? Deborah's got the donkey.
Speedwag.
No, it's Buzz down.
Buzz Burbank wants this donkey.
Oh, there you go. Deborah's got the ball. The hoop's this way, Deborah.
Yeah. I think Deborah's
got the ball. Short. It's short. Yeah.
I think one of the donkeys bit one of the women, Elizabeth, in the butt there.
Oh, watch out.
Yes.
Bit Elizabeth in the butt?
Yes. Elizabeth is off her donkey now. She's rubbing her behind.
1 minute into this donkey basketball game, we have no score.
And that time,
that's your down. That's Geronimo.
Geronimo's down, and he's going to ask for a new donkey. I think that's it. First time out, we're going to have Geronimo with a new donkey. Wait,
Omero with the basketball.
That's the turnaround.
Omero has the ball. Omero making a move to the hoop.
Wait,
Omero passes ahead to Geronimo. It's up. It's good.
Geronimo, I don't know if people noticed that, was not on a donkey, okay? And so he gets the 2 points taken away. In fact, that may even be a foul. That may even be, it could be a technical on him.
The other way it goes.
Maybe he's getting traded on a donkey. Maybe he gets a better donkey. Dick
Van Patten's busted bikini burrow, babes, have the basketball.
Don Geronimo just got stepped on by the donkey. But so far,
he's okay. The shot by Ellis was short.
Whoa.
That was choice.
Royce took a shot. Wait.
Geronimo with it again.
Oh, wait. Now he knows he can't do this. He's scrambling.
Referee blows the whistle. It's a walk-on, Don.
Because Don has not been able to get up on that donkey yet.
Rudy, I urge you to get your fat ass down there and try to get on one of these asses. I have the most unruly ass of all of them.
I think so.
All right, Omero. Go ahead, Broyhill, you're ready.
Look at Omero go. He's got that ass going in the hole.
Oh. He's grabbing him, but Omero, he's going to do it. Omero, one of the great moves of the day, though, by Omero. That was outstanding that he broke through on his donkey.
Buzz Burbank having a hard time with that ass.
Yeah. Here comes Deborah again. Deborah seems to be the leader.
Somebody got the ball. There's two balls on the court.
Yeah.
Shot is off the front rim.
Off the front rim by...
Who was that?
It was Elizabeth.
That was Elizabeth.
Elizabeth took that shot. But
here's B. Roy Hill with the basketball, working his way over the midcourt stripe.
Charlie
B. Roy Hill to the foul line. The shot by Roy Hill. Yes!
Way to go.
Charlie Broy
Hill. The Broy Hill made that one. And the score is now...
Two buckets to none. I guess that's how we're counting these. By bucket, right?
No, they got
to
be by four.
So that's two buckets for the Don and Mike team. We'll keep our own score.
Okay. Rita has grabbed the ball.
Rita grabbed the ball.
Back on her donkey.
Charlie Broyhill back with it. The pass to Omero.
Omero's going in.
Take that ass to the hole.
Uh-oh.
The jumper.
Joyce. Omero fell. Almost made it, though.
Rita with the basketball. Gets it to Joyce. Joyce working her way over the stripe.
This is not what
Joyce got that ass on the move, doesn't she?
Buzz is up.
She's got that ass on the move. Shot no good. She's about to be thrown off.
They threw her.
She goes. Geronimo, the long rebound.
She missed the shot. And
gives it off to Broyhill. Broyhill. Over the head. It's up. It is.
Caught
off the iron.
Wow. Almost banked it in off the scoreboard.
Geronimo, the foul line jumper. No good again. I think Don's got the hang of it. Just has to hold that burrow. Doesn't need to be on it by rule. Back now to...
Deborah's got it. She's going in for a layup. Deborah. Here it is. Let Deborah. She missed.
Joyce with the rebound, but she doesn't have her ass with her.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo looking for relief off the bench, and here comes Big Gun Jim. Now let's make a mic for Don.
Wait a second. Big Gun Jim mounted that thing. No, it didn't. It threw.
No, what's your first
one? I think my donkey's on steroids or something. I want a urine test done on my donkey.
Look at the perspiration rolling off the forehead of Don Geronimo.
I've got a harder workout trying to mount that donkey in the last 5 minutes.
Buzz wants out.
I can't get on. Buzz. Buzz is giving up too.
Buzz. Scott the Dwarf in the game. Buzz, how are you feeling right now?
You know, Larry, I've been accused many times of not being able to get off my ass, but today I couldn't get on it.
Deborah bouncing her way down court. Yeah. Gives it to Rita. Rita's shot no good. Still scoreless for the Dick Van Patten team. Geronimo passes to Broyhill. Broyhill looking for some place to go with that basketball. His ass is on the move.
It's Broyhill.
Omero the jumper.
Yeah! Mike Omero hits. for the Don and Mike team.
4-0. The Don and Mike team on top.
Apparently only count by ones in this basketball game. I don't know how they do that.
Elizabeth to Deborah. Deborah 0 for this basketball game.
Here
She's
comes
0
Deborah.
For 6 from the field. The shot by Deborah. It's a break. Hey. Here comes Geronimo with the basketball. No. Off to Broyhill. Big Jim with it now.
Big Jim. And O'Meara's going to take a shot. Wait a second. There's a running interference here.
Broyhill is throwing from his ass.
Yeah.
Jim and the intern checking in. Off the front rim with the shot by the Dynamite Show.
We get some subs in and get some scoring for the...
Don, this appears to be harder work than we expected.
Yes.
Wait, whoa!
Oh, she's down!
Broyhill to Big Gun Jim.
Guys, the ass doesn't seem to be taking to me.
Don, I think you need to trade asses in the second half. I think
you need to change asses.
Yeah.
I need a new ass, guys.
Your ass appears to be spastic. The ball in the hands of Rita. She gets thrown from her ass. Passes ahead. Deborah with it. The shot is up. It's
good. Whoa. I think that should be a two-pointer. That should be a two-pointer on a scoreboard. Yes.
4-2 is the score.
Yes.
On the move, Deborah.
That is a trouble.
Deborah. Deborah's bouncing on her donkey.
Deborah bouncing down court. Deborah, the other half lead is no good.
She's still worth the show, though. Yeah.
Rudy, the shooting of the Dick Van Patten team leaves a lot to be desired.
Yes, they need a clear breakaway with somebody just under the basket for a quick layup, Larry. It only happened once this game.
Big Gun Jim protecting the ball from Rita.
But I still say that the...
Big Gun Jim, the jumper?
Big-breasted women are still worth the show here.
Certainly, big-breasted women bouncing on donkeys is something everyone would like to see.
Yes, yes.
Stepped on my foot.
Don Geronimo, hurt foot. Down court, here comes Deborah. The shot is up. Oh, it is up.
Yeah.
Ball passed again to Big Gun Jim. Big Gun Jim has Don Geronimo ahead of the pack.
Don's now pulling
his
donkey.
Big Gun Jim looking to pass to Geronimo.
He's pulling his donkey.
Big Gun Jim moving his ass to the hole. Big Gun Jim puts it up. This is the easy bucket. Geronimo there puts it up. Back rim, no good. Again, no good by Don.
Don.
Crowd turning on Don.
Yeah, this crowd will turn on you quickly, won't it? Won't it, Larry?
It will. It's about to turn on us. 40 seconds to go in the first half. Big Gum Jim dominated the action. Puts it up. It's short.
I think Jim's better pass off from now on.
Loose ball, controlled by the Dick Van Patten team.
Here we go.
Deborah again.
Deborah get a breakaway. 25 seconds left for Deborah.
Clock winding down in this first half. Deborah puts it up.
Deborah
too strong. Big Gun Jim, a wild shot for no explainable reason.
Yeah.
It's out.
And so now it looks like the half's going to run out. Well, no, there's 15.9 left. Just like the NBA.
It's gut check time for the Dick Van Patten team, Rudy.
Yeah. I think if take it all the way underneath the basket.
Here comes Deborah.
All the way underneath
here
the basket,
Deborah.
Deborah.
To the hole.
Yeah.
Off the mark.
One more, Deborah.
Clock running down. Eight seconds. Six. Rita shoots, no good. Broyhill with the ball. Throws it the mic to the court. 1 second. The first half is over.
Well,
first half of this Dorky basketball game is over with the Don and Mike team leading 4-2.
Well, Larry, I think that resemble a normal NBA game. And maybe the WNBA. Well, kind of sloppy play, low scoring.
You know what they say, you watch the last 2 minutes of the Donkey basketball game, you see the whole game right there.
Yeah, I know it.
Don't you have a little competition?
Oh, yeah, where's Chuck Stossel?
There's Charlie Stossel.
All right, where's the real basketball?
All right, the real basketball. Now, how are we going to do this?
Right here. We're
1 minute, time limit.
They're going to give us 1 minute each to make as many shots as we can from behind this line back here.
That's right.
The NBA
right
here is homophobe Charlie Stossel, everybody. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Gentlemen, here is the regular basketball. You will have 60 seconds to make as many shots to that basket from this line as you can in 60 seconds.
Let me go first. All right.
Ready? Go! One!
Na-na-na-na-na.
Oh! All right. Clock is counting down. 49 seconds. All right. Oh, another one. Don has one in. 40 seconds. 40 seconds. No, there is none of that allowed, Charles. None of that allowed. Hurry. That's what the scoreboard says. Here we go. We're at the halfway mark. 30 seconds. 30 seconds and counting. And, all right, we're waiting. Make some noise, people. Make some noise. We're at the 20-second mark. There goes another one. And, no, we're waiting. We have one basket in. Yes. And we have 10,
10
9,
8, 8
7, 8. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
At the buzzer.
And it's in. At the buzzer. That's a total of 3.
Listen, homophobe, I'm going to be in your face just like you were in mine. Let's go.
All right, now there will be 60 seconds on the clock. And Charlie, homophobe Stossel.
Remember, Charlie, I made that 3 baskets, buddy.
He will have 60 seconds on the clock, and we will see what happens. Just remember, this is the man that plays with dolls. We'll see if he can break that reputation today. What? I'm sorry, action figures.
He has the Hercules doll down his pants right now.
On your mark. Get set, go!
Nice start, Charlie. Right,
the first one, no good. First one, no
over
good.
The line.
The baskets to beat are 3.
Take your time, Charlie.
So 3 or 4 did you have?
I meant 3, Mike.
3 baskets. So far, Charles Stossel just watching. Meanwhile, you can't hear it, but out here, the chance of loser from the Hooters girls. All right, we're approaching the halfway mark.
That's
his first basket.
Yeah,
there it goes, and no. At the 26-second mark, he only has 1 basket. He is in desperate need with 20 seconds to go. On 2 baskets. Time is running out. He misses that one also. We're approaching the 15-second mark.
Please.
Only 1 basket for Charles. Oh, there's 2. We are approaching 10 seconds. No. 7.
Give him another shot.
6.
Another.
5. 4. 3. 2. 1. And no. Ladies and gentlemen, you are seeing a demonstration of how to be a gracious winner. Charles,
you suck, I won.
Good man, right, let's get the post-game interview here. Don?
Yes, Mike?
Oh, I'm sorry, we have to go to the loser first.
Yeah.
All right? You gave it your best out there. There's a lot of pressure. I saw a little interference happening out there. Your thoughts on the grudge match?
Let me tell you something, brother. I want you again, brother.
Anytime, Charlie.
You don't like me. You don't like me with my arm around you, do you? Because you're a homophobe.
Love it.
All right, there you go.
Oh, see, he's no homophobe. Oh,
all right. That's enough.
Hey,
you win,
Charlie,
you win,
thank you very much. And everybody loves Charlie on our show on Fridays, right?
All right.
Great job.
Charles Stossel. And
please do take my place, though, in the second half, Charlie.
We'll see. And Don, how does it feel to be finally, after all this, do you feel vindicated? I know it was a long time. Spent a lot of time training for this.
As you know, I've never lost an athletic competition in my life. So
I understand this.
Still undefeated.
Back when you were with the Nebraska Cornhuskers all the way till today, it was a fine performance.
And of course, I had that head injury because I played without a helmet.
And
thanks,
he is now
Charlie.
Playing with a steel plate in his head.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in a saying of grace.
Oh, great.
What, dear? Grace! Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
They want you to say grace. The blessing!
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
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 The Don and Mike Show.
With moods as dark as Cabernet, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I've seen many a sporting events, but I must say that this is the most recent.
Now, you see your player there, Deborah, had many opportunities to score, and she has yet to score. Maybe she scored once during this game. She accounts for your only bucket. She's your main offensive weapon, huh?
The reason that she's not scoring is she's throwing the ball too quickly. She should wait till she gets right up to the basket.
Right.
But she's fun to, she's wonderful to look at.
Yeah, and I guess that she's probably scored off the court more often than this.
We're going to find that out.
I must say that these girls have shown us a thing or two.
A couple. Now, but I think that's where you come, the coach comes in, Dick. I think I have to let her get all the way under the hoop before she throws the ball.
Definitely must get closer to the hoop.
Yeah. Mike O'Mara, any comments for Dick Van Patten?
It's fine when you're on the other side, isn't it, Rudy?
Right.
When you're out here, this is where it counts. The gridiron.
Man, he is sweating. This is hard work, isn't it?
Yes, it is hard work.
My goodness.
Don has not been on the...
Don is having trouble with his ass.
Yeah, excuse me, Mr. Crown and Scepter. Maybe you would like to try to mount one of these vicious animals that I'm going to have put to sleep after this little game today, okay? I got myself a nice big donkey sandwich.
Is everybody having a good time so far?
Yes.
This is why we decided to do this.
Listen, I know that we are all just moments away from cardiac arrest. Let's get right to the second half. Can we do that? Do the donkeys need any more rest?
I think after that halftime exhibition, I think that Don ought to be a donkey, a different donkey in the second half, because he showed he could score.
Yes.
He showed he's got some talent.
Indeed he did.
We're beginning to have some doubts.
I think maybe that donkey, that first half donkey, was a setup just to frustrate Don.
Yeah.
I am afraid of those donkeys. That's part of the problem right there.
Well, no, wait. Could the donkey could tell Don that you might have been...
I believe the donkey could sense my level of fear. Some of the other boys easily slide on the donkey without giving it a second thought, guys.
I think it's a setup, Don. Setup.
Yeah. We got our big team meeting.
Let's eavesdrop on the team meeting over here, the Don and Mike team.
Bang?
1, 2, 3, S.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, S!
All right. It's the team that knows they're on the verge of victory.
Well, they've got a big 2-point lead at halftime. Of course, in donkey basketball, that is a large lead.
Now we have... This is the same ass that Don had in the first half.
No, Tammy, this is the ass that has already refused me.
No, you got to switch that one around. Give Don more of a break in this half now.
Yeah, give Don a receptive ass.
Get the next four out there. It's Kate and Mike and Big Gum Jim and Charlie Stossel. Come on, Chuck, give it a try.
Oh, Big Gum Jim.
You
got
the
bucket ass.
Yeah. And good luck, any of them, Charlie.
Wait, now Mike O'Meara seems to be having trouble mounting his this.
Is that your same ass?
Yeah.
Is that the same ass you had before?
Always stay with a good ass.
Yeah, I thought.
Okay.
I have a problem with that ass in the second half, though.
Stay with a good number one ass.
So we're about ready for second half action to begin here. 4-2 is the score. 15 minutes to have to go here. Referee is ready. We are ready.
Here we go.
Michael Mara having a hard time on that ass. Second half play is underway. Ball is passed to Kate. Kate, let's go of her ass and gives the ball back to the referee. Deborah with it now. Passes in.
But you got to go any other way.
It's a choice. Joyce trying to get her ass in gear.
Here comes Joyce. I think she's going to have a clear. No, you can't block her.
Charlie Stoffel trying to block her physically.
Oh,
there.
Man.
Joyce
man.
Slams it off the glass. Deborah back with
Charlie,
it.
Charlie, got to get out of here.
Gives it to Rita. Rita doesn't have enough. Actually, she does have enough, but not with the basketball.
Okay, put it up there. Oh, man.
Ball put up by... Who was that?
That was Elizabeth.
That was Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Wait a second.
Deborah.
Okay, now here.
Gives it to Rita.
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 Oh.
Comes up
Rita
short missed. Again.
Right now, this second half right now is all big-breasted.
Whoa.
Dick Van Patten's team, but they just can't get the ball in the hoop. I think that second string that Don Jarman put in there, I think it's not performing.
Charlie Stossel gives it to Big Gun Jim. Big Gun Jim looking for Mike O'Mara, throws it over his head, ball to the hands of Dick Van Patten.
Now, something happened to Deborah's burrow. It won't let her get in.
No, maybe she said something wrong during the first half.
Yeah. They even forgot about her.
There is Elizabeth with a basketball. Set to the foul line.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Looking to shoot. She should shoot. She's got the open shot. Put
Elizabeth.
It up.
Elizabeth,
put
turn
it up. Behind her head. No, sir. Deborah gives it to Rita. Rita trying to get some motion going there on that ass. Rita's got it moving. The shot by Rita. No good.
Here goes Joyce. Come on, Joyce.
Joyce misses the rim from layup distance. Joyce back with a basketball.
I don't know. Maybe Joyce got some training with the Wizards. You know,
might have been.
They missed a lot of layups. The Wizards did.
Might have been. Joyce puts it up again. No good. Deborah the rebound. She's a rebounding machine in there, just like Dennis Rodman, huh, Rudy?
Yeah, but she's doing this illegally because she's not on her burrow.
Now, this is the she tries to throw to the bucket, but Joyce cannot get the ass to deliver.
Yeah.
Deborah chases it down again. Gives it back to Joyce.
Joyce scores, and it's a tie game. Should be 4-4 right now. This is going to go down on the wire, Larry.
4-4. 12:40 to go in this ball game. I think the Dick Van Patten team has the momentum right now in this game.
Yes.
Deborah gives it to...
If they score it.
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, you got to turn around, Elizabeth.
3-on-none break right now.
Yes, yes.
Now it's a 4-on-none break.
None of the other. Look at that. Toronto's throwing a new burrow.
Elizabeth can't get her ass in gear again.
Yeah.
Elizabeth now has the ass moving. Elizabeth takes the ass to the hole.
Oh, no. Now, there goes Elizabeth. Misses.
Again, a miss. Deborah with it.
Okay.
Is it back to Elizabeth? No good again.
I think Elizabeth should not get a shooter.
Okay. We got to get Don on that ass.
Don's trying a new one.
Got to get Don on it.
He's going to get on a new one.
Don Geronimo has it. Passes to O'Mara.
O'Mara. Moving in there.
Has his ass in gear. O'Mara puts it up.
Yes! And. Okay, the Don and Mike team now score. Let's see how many points they give them for that one.
It's 6-4.
6-4.
10:40 to go in this game. Mm-hmm. O'Mara taking bounds.
What a showboat. What a hot dog that O'Mara.
You got it, Archie.
Joyce has it. Misses. Rebound long. Goes to the bouncing Rita. Rita throws inside again to Joyce.
Okay, here comes Joyce. Turn around, Joyce.
Joyce trying to turn her ass around.
Here she goes in for that layup.
Off the glass. Too strong again.
Yeah.
Loose ball. Joyce once again has the ball.
Come on.
Joyce has it. Looking for a layup on the left side. Puts it off the glass. No good.
Man.
Rita with the rebound. Gives it back to Joyce.
Wait, Joyce's donkey is taking her out to midcourt.
And here comes Scott the Dwarf.
Here they go.
Joyce is being led by Rita to the hole.
Oh, man.
No good. O'Mara goes down.
Oh,
basket by Joyce. This game is tied at 6 with 9:20 to go.
And the crowd senses an upset, seems to be rooting, I can't believe this, against the Don and Mike team.
Oh, Broyhill's got his ass in gear. Look at Broyhill move it. Broyhill all the way. Broyhill to the hole. Puts it up. No good.
Don Geronimo limping off the court. And Mike O'Mara, we saw him with a sprained ankle.
Don, how are you physically right now?
I hurt from below the waist, guys. If you're with me on what happened
there. Yeah, right. Seems to be walking quite gingerly.
Oh, Broyhill hit in the face. Broyhill hit in the face, puts it up underhanded. No good. Preparation H, the official sponsor of the Don and Mike Donkey basketball game.
I've just signed an endorsement contract with them.
That's Elizabeth with the basketball. Bricks it off the glass. Mike O'Mara with the basketball. Passes ahead. Charlie Broyhill has it.
Okay,
Broyhill, look at the score. Puts it up. No good. Gets his own rebound. Broyhill back to O'Mara.
Over the head. No look shot by Mike O'Mara. Just missed by 8 feet.
I want to know how come Rita's not on an ass.
Yeah.
That's
Rita, get a find.
Rita needs to get on an ass right now.
Right.
Rita, find your ass, Rita.
Yeah.
Charlie Broyhill making friends with his ass. You see that?
Yeah, I know. He's petting it.
Broyhill with it within shooting range.
Pass ahead.
Puts it up. No good. Loose ball in the hands of Jimmy the intern. Gets it to Scott the Dwarf. Shot is short. Where you know it.
Scott the Dwarf, yeah!
Good by Scott the Dwarf.
He did, and Scott's off.
Scott the Dwarf goes over backwards.
He fell off, but he almost made the winning shot.
Rid of the basketball.
Wait, here we go. Here comes Elizabeth. She's got it. She's busting. Wait.
Michael O'Mara.
O'Mara, you can't grab her there.
Joyce looking to give the Dick Van Patten team.
Oh, my God.
8-6, Rudy.
Oh, my gosh. The Dick Van Patten big-breasted women, babes, they now lead 8-6.
O'Mara looks to tie it.
O'Mara. Wow. It's just like an NBA game.
Come on, baby.
Mike now with 6 points in this game.
Mike O'Mara is the leading scorer in the game, has tied the game for his team at 8-8.
Joyce back with it, looking to break this tie with 5 feet to go. Joyce puts it up, way too strong. Rita the rebound. Don and Rita.
Yeah.
Fighting it out. Wait. Down goes Don. Pulled down by the ass.
And here comes Elizabeth with the ball. She's going to try to break away.
Broyhill tries to poke.
No, you can't do that, Broyhill. You gotta be on your donkey.
No poking the ass, Charlie.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, about 2:20 to go.
2:20 to go. The score is
and
still
tied. And the score is tied 8-8. Here's a breakaway now.
Jimmy hits on the shot.
Intern misses it.
And he goes down. O'Mara the ball again. O'Mara gets the tie. No good again. Broyhill gets it again.
Uh-oh.
Gives it to O'Mara. A hook. No good. Broyhill gets it.
Okay.
Gives it to Don Geronimo. The jumper by Don.
Yay!
Good. O'Mara again, dominating the backboards as the Don and Mike team. Broyhill pokes it away from Rita, and the whistle on Broyhill.
Got to go to the girls. Here it is.
Deborah, a layup. All the way to the hole with the ass.
Oh, man. She gets this. She was ahead of breakaway. The crowd was cheering for the big busted babes.
Looking for some place to go. Don's going to shoot it up. No good again.
Get a little text on. Minute and a half to go.
O'Mara looking for the basketball. Kicks it off.
Yeah. Okay. Rita's got that ball.
Rita's having a hard time with that top, Rudy.
Yeah, I think that top might come off, Rita.
Don steals it. Down the layup. Good.
Wiped out. Has to be wiped out. It has to be good for Don Geronimo. The ref wipes it out.
No bucket.
His thigh was off his horse.
No bucket.
The ref wiped out.
Will we see overtime?
Here comes Jimmy the intern in for the winning shot.
No good. 1 minute to go. And the score is tied.
A minute.
Rita. Stolen by Mike O'Mara.
Yep.
Mike O'Mara needs to turn that ass around.
Yeah.
Mike O'Mara. Being accosted by Rita.
Well, I'll tell you.
Throwing elbows to get Rita's breasts off him, I guess.
I think Mike O'Mara likes to be tussled in the middle by these big-breasted babes.
34 seconds and counting. Will we see overtime in this donkey basketball game?
Here we go.
Has her ass on the move.
Okay, this could be it.
The crowd senses something.
Yes. Here it goes. Wait.
The hole puts it on. Oh, good. Rebound by Rita. Deborah puts it up again. No good.
Elizabeth
with the basket.
Oh, man.
Rita is rebounding. Rita, no place to go with that. Ball is deflected. It is loose.
5 seconds.
4 seconds. 3 seconds.
Mike O'Mara, what a shot.
That's the first of the game. No.
Overtime.
Ball says no overtime.
So we have.
So what's the official rule?
Maybe a shootout. A shootout, Doc.
What, Rob? The official donkey basketball rules are an additional period played to sudden death. The next basket will win all the marbles.
Sudden death.
All right, let's get to it then.
There it is. Okay. Get that ball out there.
Sudden death overtime.
You know, I'm favoring a big-breasted babe, you know, in this one.
I know why.
Breasted, busted, whatever it is. I mean,
that
I'm favoring
him. That is over in overtime.
He's on his move. He went down in his helmet. Good thing he had a helmet on. Okay, that's it. Hey, he raises his helmet to the crowd, shows he's okay. I tell you, what a player. What a gut guy.
Don got it up on that ass.
Yeah.
took them to overtime to actually...
Sudden death overtime is underway, Rudy.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Sudden death overtime is underway. Charlie Burrell has the basketball.
Okay, here it's going.
Gives it to O'Mara. O'Mara has got to win it.
Oh, man.
Who's draw?
Okay, well...
Rita has to get on her ass.
Got to get on your ass. Yes.
Come on, Rita, on your ass.
Yes. Okay.
Ball stolen by Don Geronimo. Into the hands of Charles Broyhill. Broyhill.
Okay. Get in the donkey stuff. Get on the donkey.
Geronimo.
He's, look at my. No, it's going the other way now. See?
Geronimo gives it to O'Mara.
Uh-oh. Here it comes.
Deborah.
Deborah's trying to block him.
Costing Mike back to the game. Off the glass.
There it is.
Rebound.
Oh, that's
right.
He falls
off the
donkey. Oh, O'Mara. That might have been it for O'Mara.
Spiewak looking to stop the break.
Oh, here he goes.
Deborah looking to win it. Spiewak deflects it to Bridget. The shot's short.
Oh, man. Deborah, you got to take that shot when you get it. That was it. Okay, she's passed off from underneath.
It's not right there. She's got to take that shot when she gets it.
She's right next to the basket. She's the girl that was far away from the basket.
I know.
Yeah.
It's bad coaching, Dick. Bad coaching.
What's her name? Deborah.
Deborah.
Deborah, you've got to get closer to the basket.
Broyhill has his ass running to the hole. Broyhill for the game. It's over. In the winning bucket. And the Don and Mike team win in overtime.
Oh, there's some booze.
There's some booze in the crowd.
But that was a legal basket. It was a legal basket. And
I knew we would win. They're a bunch of girls.
I have pain in my nether regions.
And all you guys have been yelling at me, just get on the donkey. Who wants to come down and try? There's some of them that do. Thank you very much for supporting our Kooky Donkey basketball game.
We have a great concert coming up with the Bellamy Brothers, who have been nice enough to come here today. It's going to be great.
Now listen, the Bellamy Brothers are going to be doing a sound check.
So if you want to get a beverage, get something to eat, this is a good time to do it. There'll be a brief intermission before the Bellamy Brothers come on.
Dick Van Patten, sponsored by Margelina Restaurant. That's out here in Clinton. Dick also sponsored by MVC Late Night Video. He's very proud of that. And thanks to Country Music Television for supplying the Bellamy Brothers.
I want to thank Don and Mike for I had a lot of fun here. And I didn't travel 3,000 miles to watch you lose, so that's why you won.
All right.
But I want to thank all of you for supporting the Children's Hospital. It's a very, very good cause, and it'll make us all much happier. Incidentally, Don and Mike, I think you're terrific on the radio. You have great wit and great energy, and you're fun to listen to. And I don't know how you do it for 3 or 4 hours like that and keep it going with that pace. You're really terrific, and I appreciate it. Everybody, have a good summer.
Thank you, Dick Van Patten. Thanks a lot, Dick.
Thanks.
That's fantastic. And, hey, incidentally...
That is a lifelong dream coming true.
That is. And
us on a stage with Dick Van Patten.
I wanted to point out that we were aware that you, as the majority of the crowd, you were against us in the game, and we'd like to say you showed excellent judgment doing that. Thank you very much.
Well, listen, we want to thank all of you for coming and making this a big success today for Children's Hospital.
This is all for the Have a Heart campaign for the abused children at Children's Hospital. And you guys have been terrific. We hope you enjoyed the donkey basketball.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu pedals! Zuzu! There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas!
Come on up there.
Ho, 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 ho.
drawn blank. Frantically, I tried to remember what it was I wanted. I was blowing it, blowing it.
Come on, kid. How about a nice football?
Football? Oh, no. What was I doing? Wake up, stupid. Wake up. No.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Operating under the Jolly Directive, the Don and Mike Show.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to talk to Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
I think you have the most sexiest voice.
Well, it's another one. It's add this woman to the list, Buzz.
Thank you, ma'am.
I think that when you talk on the radio, you sound so radio-ish and so distinguished.
Yes, smashing, baby.
I'm very clumsy in person.
Are you?
Yes. Only in bed. Only when it comes to sex.
Yes, the term fumbling would be appropriate, ma'am.
You are just it.
Very nice.
He's like Ralph Malph in bed. You've ever watched Happy Days?
Oh, absolutely. Just constantly finding his way. But a lot of women find that charming.
I just can't get over how sexy your voice is.
Listen,
well, I listen to you. I die to listen to the newscast just so I can listen to your voice.
Well, then why don't you stir the soup?
Thank you. I'm not that type.
Pardon me?
I'm not that type.
You're not that type? Oh, come on. Everybody's that type.
You don't know what stirring the soup means.
Sure I do.
What do you think it means?
You know what it means.
No, listen, I do know what it means. It means to diddle yourself.
Sure it does.
Yeah, you don't do that, huh?
No.
Really?
I don't need to.
Why?
There's plenty of people that'll diddle it for you.
Good answer.
Guess you're right about that. You made Buzz drop his papers.
He was all fumbly over there just hearing you talk like that.
Hey, listen, I got a wife, and we have a very healthy sex life, but it doesn't mean that I don't diddle.
Well, everybody is to each their own, I guess.
I think guys diddle more than women diddle.
Uh-huh.
I mean, some guys diddle more, some women diddle more, but I think guys, you know, as far as on a ratio...
So much easier for a guy to diddle. There's so much less to worry about.
If a guy is diddling, he's in trouble.
See, I think, though, it's not necessarily easier for a guy to diddle. I think a guy couldn't certainly diddle clandestinely, but a woman could diddle clandestinely.
I don't think a guy could diddle clandestinely.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, come on. How could a guy diddle clandestinely?
How could a woman diddle clandestinely?
I don't know. I told you I don't diddle.
There's not as much space taken up.
See, I would disagree. I would think that for a woman to diddle, she'd have...
Lord. I just wanted to tell
Buzz. Make yourself comfortable.
Yeah, right.
That was very nice.
And I think that you're a very sexy voice and you're a very nice man.
Well, thank you.
Well, that's anything you to say. Anything you'd like to say to us?
Sure, you guys are great. Radio gods.
You ever diddled us?
No.
That's the sound of this woman diddling to Buzz. Hey, thank you for the call.
You guys have a great evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye. There you go, Buzz.
Yeah. So I guess your point is the entire reclining position being necessary for a proper diddling.
Yes, yeah, for proper diddling. Thank you, Mike.
For proper diddling.
For PDing. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys kick ass.
Thank you.
How you doing?
Great. All right, thank you.
That was a good call.
Thank you, and goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
You didn't say if you watched Mad About You last night.
I had my kids' basketball practice, and I missed it. Was Nathan Lane funny?
Yeah, Lane really doing old-style Lucille Ball, like fall-over stuff comedy. And, you know...
God damn it, he's funny. I swear he's funny. Yeah.
If it had been anybody else besides Nathan Lane, that would not have worked, but it was just because he was able to pull it off. It's all about, he was the first man that Helen Hunt ever slept with, or whatever her character is on the show Mad
Jamie.
About You.
Right.
Jamie ever slept with. And he thinks...
That's a pretty good premise.
He thinks that they're going to see him because Paul Buckman, who is Paul Reiser, is going to lecture at this guy's film class, and then they invite him out for dinner afterwards, and he thinks that Paul is going to kill him and everything that happens. And it's all sorts of old shtick with the poison and the wine. And then
he's funny, man.
Lots
he's
of good. Faces in the door and stuff like that. It's great.
He's good.
It was a really good show. Did you watch NYPD Blue?
You know, no, I didn't. I watched that show on and off basis.
I did, too. I watched it last night, and it was fantastic. It was really one of the better ones. I mean, it was a good TV night last night.
Every time I turn it on, I never see any girls that are topless.
Mm. Yeah, there was none of that last night.
No, but the doofus that was the main killer, he was something else.
Oh, this guy, they had this psycho killer who killed his sister, put her in a box, and dragged it down the apartment stairs and left it out on the street for the sanitation department. And this was a guy, they're grilling him, and he got Sipowicz in there, was going, all right, now we're going to ask you a few questions here. And all the guy was saying, could I have a Coca-Cola?
I want my Coca-Cola.
And it's like, hey, you're trying our patience right now. You can't have the soda pop. And then it ends up he confesses to two killings if they give him 2 liters of Coca-Cola.
Two liters.
Yeah, that was
unbelievable.
A pretty good show last night.
Excellent show.
Thank you, Mike.
Sure.
Bye-bye. Now, listen. Oh, about TV, this will be a wonderful segue.
Yes.
Listen, in the article that was about us today in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania newspaper, this guy, Barry Fox, he has his last item that has nothing to do with Pennsylvania, but he's a good man for putting it in his column because it's funny. WBMG-TV, a CBS station in Birmingham, Alabama, fired all of its anchors and reporters 2 weeks before Christmas after the Nielsen ratings showed that the evening news had fewer viewers than reruns of Sanford and Son.
Oh! Wow.
Let's call this TV station.
Man, that's incredible. I mean, you got to work pretty hard at the... And they're the CBS affiliate, obviously, for Birmingham, so, I mean, that's no slouch.
CBS.
You're on CBS.
They fire everybody.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Sure, they fired the receptionist. This just in, we're out. Imagine that, though. I mean, I wonder if they did it by memo, whether they told people individually or
how. These are some of the questions that we'll be asking.
Man, fascinating.
I'm Kent Dorfman. I've been canned. Imagine that. The whole eyewitness news team.
We're sorry. Your call did not go through. Will you please come on.
This is tougher than we were calling the Vatican, trying to find the Vatican's main exorcist.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes. Am I speaking to Patrick?
Patrick? This is Patrick. Can I help you?
Is this Patrick Rimmer?
Yeah, Patrick Rimmer.
Uh-huh.
What do you want?
Is this Patrick Rimmer that worked at 42?
Yeah, right. Who's this?
This is Vincent Parker.
Yes, Vincent. What do you want?
I must have the wrong number. Thank you.
No, this is Mr. Rimmer.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, it doesn't sound like Patrick.
Who's this?
This is Vincent Parker.
Hey, Vince.
Patrick?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, man?
What's up?
Patrick.
Oh, come on, man. Help a brother.
All right, this is Patrick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what's up?
I was just calling to see what was up with you.
Who the hell is Patrick? This guy called the hotline. Yes, what?
Huh?
What?
I was just calling to see how you were doing.
Oh, I'm doing great.
You're doing great?
Yeah, how's your wife?
Huh?
How's your wife?
Who? What wife?
Oh, you don't have a wife? How's your girlfriend?
This can't be Patrick.
Oh, no, this is Patrick. This is Patrick Ewing. This is Patrick Stewart.
We don't need prayer in school. We need the tall salad man in school.
Hey, listen, brother, you called the wrong number.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to make a call out here, and you happen to be on the line. I mean, this guy's on the hotline. This is the wrong number.
Okay. I thought so.
You're talking to a couple of crackers right now.
Oh, man.
Yes, you're talking to two of the two most tragically white men in America.
Hey, okay.
What's your name, brother?
My name is Vincent.
All right, you already told me that. Hey, Vincent, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from CBS 42 in Birmingham.
And I'll tell you, for a while there, Don was doing a credible brother.
Wait a minute. You're calling from Birmingham?
Uh-huh. Where are you guys at?
Channel 42.
Did I call you?
I don't know.
Your calls collided somehow. Your calls, like, got intercepted. We're trying to call WBMG in Birmingham.
Vincent, you were trying to call out, and we were trying to call in at the same time.
I got you. So you work at the TV station?
Yeah, I'm at Channel 42 in Birmingham.
Oh, wow. There we go. And that was when we did want to talk to you.
Vincent.
Yeah.
We're doing a radio show now. My name is Don, and this is my friend Mike.
Hello, Vincent.
What's going on, guys?
Listen, we wanted to call the station that fired their whole news department because they were getting beaten by Sanford and Son.
Oh, yeah?
How did that... Do you know anything about that?
I sure don't, but I can transfer you to somebody who does.
All right, thank you.
Okay, hold on.
Bye-bye. Huh. Well, that's one of those deals where your calls literally clashed.
That's kooky.
Yeah. They meshed as one.
Good afternoon, Willie Walker's office.
Willy Wonka's office?
Yes.
Willy Wonka?
Yes, hello. This is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing a national radio show right now.
Yeah?
We were wondering if we could get a comment about WBMG firing their entire news team because they got beaten in the ratings by Sanford and Son.
Well, she is not available at the moment.
So Willie is not available?
Right, not.
Is her name Willie?
Yes, it is.
Willy Wonka?
It's Willy Walker.
Willy Walker. You have a woman named Willie?
Yes, we do.
When she fired the news team, did she do it in person?
If you need to, call back.
Wait. Is there anybody else that we could speak to besides Ms. Walker?
I will be more than happy to send you upstairs to the general manager's office.
Oh yes, that would be great.
Excellent.
Yes,
thank you.
Willy Wonka.
Well, there's the first problem. You got a woman named Willy.
Nice.
Boos. Willy Wonka's boos.
Nice.
Boos.
Loompa, loompa, loompa.
Hi, this is Susan and Eric Lanskoff. Can I help you?
Yes, hello. This is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing a national radio show now.
Uh-huh.
We wanted to comment about how you guys fired your whole news team because you were getting beaten in the ratings by Sanford and Son.
So that was kind of a kooky story, and we had some questions about it.
Okay.
Like when you fired everybody, did you have a big meeting? And when you fired the anchors, did you have to tell them separately?
Okay, and what radio show do you do?
The Don and Mike Show.
Here on
where?
CBS. We're part of the CBS family.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a national show with Westwood One.
You probably need to be getting these comments actually from the general manager.
Well, no, we heard that Willy Wonka is not there. Or no, Willy Wonka is not the general manager.
No,
and her name is Willy Walker.
And what does Miss Wonka do? Is she a PR person for the station?
Have you thought about hiring Lamont to be your lead anchor man?
Do you know where he is these days?
And what about Aunt Esther? Aunt Esther with the weather.
But she's doing the Church's Fried Chicken commercials now.
You know,
she's tied up.
You know, the people that were let go, was it everybody? I mean, all the on-air people, lock, stock, and barrel, everybody?
Pretty much.
Wow. Did you have a stupid name for your news, like Eyewitness News or Action News?
What was the name of the newscast?
Stupid is just a matter of opinion.
Well, what was the name?
42 News.
42 News.
42 News.
Straightforward. That might be a problem right there.
Yeah, you probably should have come up with a flashier name or something.
Think that would help?
Yeah. How was your anchor team done, both male, female, and racially lined up? Did you have a white guy and a black guy and a white girl and a white... What was the makeup of your news team?
I had some of everything.
You had a little bit of everything?
Mm-hmm.
And people just weren't watching?
Just wasn't happening for us.
And so rather than perhaps surgically remove the problem individuals...
You just took the news off the station?
There wasn't one problem individual. It wasn't the individuals. It was the individuals as a team.
It was the individuals as a team. So rather than lance the boil, you took the leg.
Well, I guess that if you want to look at it that way.
How much were you guys getting beaten by Sanford and Son?
They weren't. That was just the way someone read it, wrote it down in the newspaper.
How many total people, like on the on-air people, how many people did you have before the change?
We haven't changed yet.
Well, I mean, how many people?
How many people did you fire?
Well, okay, on-air people?
Yeah.
Actually, we didn't fire anyone. We just didn't renew contracts.
And how many people weren't renewed?
Am I on the air, like, right now?
Yes, of course.
Don't you think maybe you should ask people before you do this?
We told you you're on the air in the broadcasting business. When you picked up the phone, I said we're doing a national radio show right now.
No, you said we're doing a national radio show.
No, we said we're doing a radio show right now. We said that.
If I said we're doing a radio show, like, that wouldn't tell you that you're on the air? Why would I say we're doing a radio show if we weren't on the air?
We're just asking some questions here. We don't want to be difficult.
But you are.
Why are we being difficult?
No, you're the one.
No, why are you being difficult?
No, you guys are the ones that are difficult. You fired your whole 42 news team.
It's about the most callous, cold, cruel-hearted thing I've ever heard of in my life.
And you maintain that you were not beaten in the ratings by Sanford and Son.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was a news...
Sanford and Son was not on at the same time our news is on.
What were you getting beaten by?
Urkel? Other newscasts.
Other newscasts.
You weren't beaten by any other programming except local news?
Correct.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Then how did this vicious story about Sanford and Son get out?
I probably started with someone like you.
Someone like us?
Couldn't start with someone like me.
Well, I think our conversation's come to a close.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Really? Okay, balls on chin.
Woo!
Boy, oh boy.
Well, I mean, is there any surprise that they'd be that way? And then she's being very clever, and then all of a sudden she cops the super tube, and there was nothing said that changed her mind. It was just, she said, are we on the air?
I wish we were on in Birmingham, because I'd like to know what the lineup is down there. I would bet that they really did get beaten by Sanford and Son.
And you know something? Any relatively large city, any city at all, you're going to have other programming besides the news. So technically she was wrong.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, hi.
How you doing?
Great. Balls on chin.
Don and Mike, hello.
Very good use of that, our newfound phrase.
Thank you.
Because, you know, I was listening the other day when the guy first called in with the balls on chin comment.
Yeah.
And I heard you say, he asked you if you would use it. You guys said, we're never using it.
Right.
I keep hearing it every day.
Correct. And didn't you hear when the guy called in? And I told the guy, that's how the show goes.
Oh, no, I missed him. He called back again.
Once we took it, we made it our own. And his explanation of it was purely pathetic.
Yeah. All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah, that's the reason. See, that's the reason we didn't give him a lot of credit or a lot of time when we were talking to him, and then we took it, and that's when Balls on Chin began to evolve on the show.
But we're perfectly within our legal rights to say that we're going to do something or not do it and then totally turn around.
That's the two-faced clause.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. You're dealing with one of the most two-faced shows in the nation.
Just listen, Jesus, everybody is two-faced. You know, we're like the only real show out there. We're like all of your friends. All of your friends and all of the people you know, they're two-faced too.
That's right.
They tell you one thing and they do another. It's just funny. People can't deal with it when the honesty is right up front.
It's funny because it's true.
Right. And furthermore, the Balls on Chin guy called in and said the same thing. And we said to him, yeah, you're right. I said I would never say it. And we started saying it 10 minutes later.
So from our family to your family, wherever you are, please remember, Balls on Chin.
Okay.
Thanks.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
So many helpers out there.
Absolutely. Everybody wants just a little piece of the action.
Mike, we have more helpers than Santa Claus does.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, fine, buddy.
Hey, you know, they canceled Sanford Sun on Channel 20 down here. In D.C.?
Yeah.
They canceled it. Instead, they put an hour of Good Times on.
I was watching a little Good Times last night, as a matter of fact, when they were having a serious conversation.
Was it when James died?
No, it was not James, but it was
who just set you up? See, I was setting you up for that.
I was so caught up with this because who is the pretty daughter on that show?
Janet Jackson.
No, it was the other pretty daughter.
You mean JJ's grown-up daughter?
It was not JJ's daughter.
She's going to be JJ's sister.
That was some weird Woody Allen thing.
JJ's sister. No, Janet Dubois was the boozy neighbor.
And she was the kind of voluptuous, boozy neighbor.
She was like Jack Kay.
But Florida was talking to... Esther Rolle was talking to one of the daughters, and they're having a serious conversation.
JJ's sister. Nice on top.
Yeah, that's who it was. It was JJ's sister.
Right.
The older, the middle-level sister.
Yeah.
And then Dubois was on the couch with a boyfriend.
That is the boozy neighbor.
And they were making out, and that's just when Jimmy JJ Walker came in and made a heck of an entrance. And I laughed out loud. I showed my teeth, but now he's a serious radio host.
Yeah. And what happened when James died?
Damn, 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 James is dead. Damn, damn, damn. JJ.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? It was Thelma.
Hi, Storm Man. Yeah, and her name was Thelma, right.
Damn.
Thelma.
Yeah.
Damn, damn. Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
All right, goodbye.
How you doing?
Bye-bye. Goodbye. Goodbye. Please hang up. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
But you know, I was determined to make my gift this year a little more meaningful. And after a great deal of effort, I believe I have. My gift does not come from some fancy store, all wrapped in glittery paper. My gift comes from my heart. Tonight, I intend to sit each one of you down and tell you in my own words exactly how much you mean to me.
That's it.
I could get someone over to give us all massages.
Oh, great!
Well,
and when it's dry and weather, oh, Gravel, I shall
play. Oh, glaggle, glaggle, glaggle. I never have a play. And when the sky is ready, oh, glaggle, I shall play.
The Don and Mike Show.
The Grand Marshals of the Retard Parade. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Well, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hello, is this Berta?
Yes.
And, Berta, you don't know if you're gay or not?
No, it's kind of a long story.
What kind of a test can we give you here?
Huh?
I'm trying to figure out a quick test we can give you. Do you like, have you ever kissed a girl?
Yes.
And you've had relationships with men?
Relationships I've had with women are usually have been in threesomes. And I can't stand my husband. And I pay more attention to her than I do him.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Which do you like better? Do you like being with girls or boys better?
Women.
You like? Well, then you're gay. Yeah, you're gay. Have you ever really acted out on these feelings?
Once when I was 15,
mm-hmm.
One-on-one, and I haven't had a chance since because I've been married all the time.
Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
Oh, good grief. I have no idea. I don't.
What am I hearing? Some kind of...
Thank you very much.
Am I hearing parrots or something in the background? Or?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of birds.
Some exotic bird life back there. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Come on. Who do you look like?
Huh?
You must think you look like some celebrity.
No.
That's very important for this show. You know, we always like to get the picture of the individual we're talking to.
All three of us.
Very... Very intently staring at the microphone now, trying to put a mental picture with a woman who doesn't know if she's gay or straight.
Well, okay, I'm 5'4", 135 pounds, real short, brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
What
are you wearing right now?
Pair of jeans.
That's it?
Yeah.
No shirt?
No.
Wow.
Do I make you horny?
You mean no shirt at all?
No, I played strip trivia with you guys.
When?
At my house.
Oh, at your house, you play? You mean you play along?
Yeah.
The home version.
How big is your bra size?
38C.
38C.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I've had two kids, and I can't stand kids.
Oh, there you go.
I can't stand them. They're brats.
Yeah, that's weird.
Wow.
You got lots of stretch marks?
I'm always looking at women. Always.
You got lots of stretch marks?
No.
Have you tried to find any professional help?
You know, maybe you should spend the night with Jimmy the intern. He likes saying that he can cure lesbians.
Oh, God.
Would you consider sleeping with Jimmy the intern?
No.
You would not?
Huh. No.
Not at all. I guess it's only women for you?
Yes. Goldie Hawn would be my idol.
Goldie Hawn.
Me too, but I'm not gay. Well, I guess, no, I'm straight. I'm hetero. Well, listen, I don't know. I urge you, whatever you do, please take your children into consideration, okay? That worries me when you say that, you know, I don't care if you hate your husband or not. But
I love my kids. I just can't stand...
Other children?
Other people's kids.
Other people's children. Well, that's all right. That's perfectly normal.
All right, well, then we're with you there. Okay.
But all right. Even thinking about, you know, little kids again, it's like,
You know, I don't know. I think you might be straight the more I talk to you. I'm gonna make another sweeping generalization that I've never talked to a lesbian who sounds like they're maybe a couple of cards short of a deck.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Thanks.
Well, I mean, are you making the unbelievable stereotype that there are no lesbians that are insane?
Well, no, not insane.
Mm-hmm.
Osley.
Oh, Osley. Uh-huh. Oh, I understand. You know... I'm with you there.
Okay.
Not in my experience.
Right. They've all been very well spoken and very articulate, and
mm-hmm.
you hardly ever hear a lesbian say, like, duh.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Listen, based on that, I think you're straight. I just think you got some problems to work out, but you go and tell anybody that Dr. Don and Dr. Mike think you're straight.
I've had people come up to me out of the blue and say, and lean over to me, are you gay or bi or what?
Is it because of the way you look?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you would know that. I mean, you know, there are stereotypical looks.
Listen, we can do a test.
I got my hair cut really, really short.
There you go. That might be a dead giveaway.
We can do a test right now. Put the phone between your legs. Come on, put the phone.
Vibrations, yeah.
Put the phone between your legs, and we're going to have to do the test. Let me know when the phone's down there.
Yeah, right. Then how am I going to know when to pick the phone back up?
Oh, see? She's pretty sharp.
Yeah. Come on. Put the phone between your legs and then say, the phone's between my legs, and then give us 10 seconds, and I'll tell you instantly if you're gay or not.
Okay.
All right.
Between my legs.
She's straight. So.
No lesbian would do something this dumb.
Okay, honey, you're straight.
You've confirmed it, and maybe get rid of some of those birds.
Hey, ma'am?
Yeah?
You're straight.
Mm-hmm.
You're straight as can be.
Sure.
Straight as can be.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, how you doing? My name is Justin.
This would be the guy. This would be the caller who's complaining about the Hispanic content.
I'm not complaining about that. What I'm saying, guys.
What?
You know, I've been down here for about 2.5 years.
Yes.
I'm originally from the New York area or New Jersey. And what's happened? Excuse me.
Yes.
We're just playing a little background music for you.
Okay. No. 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 But it's got to be no Mexican music.
La 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 la.
Music.
Well, why? What are you?
The touch is incredible.
What nationality are you?
Salsa, from Tito Puentes. Get some Mark Anthony.
Oh, Tito Puente. Are you Cuban?
No, I'm not Cuban. I'm Puerto Rican.
You're Puerto Rican.
Damn it. You know, that's always one of the in-between ones. I never know what to play.
What do you mean in-between?
I try to generalize our callers with music, and I don't know what
to... You can't generalize somebody you don't understand.
Well, listen, I understand this about Puerto Rico. You don't pay income tax.
Yes, we do.
No, you don't. I've been there. You don't pay income tax. You use United States money.
Listen, if you're a pharmaceutical company, you don't pay it.
If you're a pharmaceutical company?
Yeah, that's what they say.
You go buy a hamburger in Puerto Rico, you don't pay tax. You earn money digging a ditch and you don't pay income taxes. Yet you get...
You spend a lot of time down there.
You get all the benefits,
guys,
of living in the American society.
Tell them the truth. You own a house in Puerto Rico, Don. Tell them the truth.
All right, I'm the cockfighting king of Puerto Rico.
Fighting. What are you cockfighting? You need a big cock to fight.
I own 30 roosters.
Roosters.
As a matter of fact, even back here in the States, we shouldn't be telling this, but every Saturday night at Don's Barn.
Listen, kidding aside, I
listen
a lot.
Listen, all kidding.
From radio station, I go from 106.7 to 1300 AM.
Yeah, I think this is the appropriate music.
The fact of the matter is that people in Puerto Rico, hold on,
just doesn't do nothing.
Listen, people in, what are you screaming about? I'm talking about Puerto Rico. People in Puerto Rico, they have like American highways and American signs, and you use American money, and you got all the benefits of living in America, but
except you're in Washington.
You don't pay income tax.
Yes, we do.
No, you don't.
We do so.
Do not.
Do so.
Do not.
God damn it. I mean, God darn it.
Oh, don't worry about it.
That's all right. That's okay.
That's one of the legal ones.
It's pain, believe it or not.
What is your problem? I don't think we've been able to figure that out.
The problem is I've been here for 2.5 years.
Yes.
And I'm still yet to find...
Were you a gardener?
No, I'm not.
You work at a car wash?
No.
But those are the only two jobs that guys from Puerto Rico can have. Right?
Well,
am I right?
You can kiss it. But anyway.
We can kiss it. Hey, just like Frank Gifford.
He's doing a good job.
Yeah, kiss it.
Kiss me and I'll kiss you.
Kiss it real good.
Oh, hold on. You could be a waiter.
No, as a matter of fact, I'm...
You could be a waiter, or you could work in a car wash, or you could be a gardener.
No, I'm no gardener. As a matter of fact, I probably do pretty good.
You do pretty good. So what's your problem?
No, my problem is that I've been down here 2.5 years, and there's not a Spanish station except for AM. So what's going on here?
Well, that's... What are you talking to me about that for?
On mic, listen. You guys got rid of... What is it? The Grease guy? The Grease man?
Yo estoy enfermo de la cabeza.
Listen, AM was made for Hispanic radio stations. Enjoy your AM Hispanic station, sir.
You guys, let me teach you a word.
Let's keep the FM stations all American.
Yeah. No, what do you mean?
I want nothing but American programming on FM.
You know what both you guys are?
And you know something? The Spanish stations do tend to overmodulate. I mean, you'll turn on one of those stations in here. As a matter of fact, there's one on the Beltway out by the Mormon Temple. When you're going around the Beltway here in Washington, D.C., it always cut into my radio when I was listening to the AM stations.
Oh, both you guys are. I think you guys are hung up.
You're hung up, Mike.
Listen.
Do you drive a low rider?
Guys.
Sábado gigante.
No, sábado. You guys know that.
Why?
Fajitas with chicken.
Listen, I got a word for both you guys.
What?
Can I say the word?
Is it a dirty word?
It's dirty, but I'll explain it to you. It's dirty in Spanish.
Explain it to me. All right, Pedro, what is the word?
The word is cabrón.
It sounds awful.
Now, what the juice does that mean?
Means
what?
Where both you guys are?
What?
If you know your wife is cheating on you, and you're not doing nothing about it.
Well, my wife's not cheating on me.
And my wife's not cheating on me.
I just...
How dare you?
And if my wife was to cheat with somebody, she surely wouldn't cheat with a Mexican guy.
I'm not Mexican guy.
No, you're the Puerto Rican. It's the same thing.
I mean, it's not.
Same thing.
Listen, I just want to say one thing.
What?
All straightforward.
What? Okay.
I'd like to thank you guys for the 1 year that I've been listening to you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
No, thank you. I'm not kissing your ass either.
Muchas gracias.
Gracias, no.
Wait, what are you doing calling our show? Isn't it time for your siesta?
No, not yet. It's
don't you have a big sombrero that you can fall asleep under?
Not yet.
Isn't there some burrow that you should be riding right now?
Burrow. Hey, you should come to our burrow basketball game. We're going to be on burrows playing women in bikinis.
Like you and Don.
You never saw such a show.
Guys.
All right, thank you.
Listen, take care.
Pedro says hang up time.
I want to say thank you, guys.
All right.
You made my year
through
this, my bad, extremely divorced. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
You went through a divorce.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Very bad divorce.
We need some more rolls and butter at this table.
God,
you're sorry. Come on now.
Hey, guys.
There we go.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. My wife ordered a glass of wine a half hour ago. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Don. I definitely know I'm gay. And I wanted to let you know that I wanted to comment on Frida killing the copperhead this weekend.
Yes.
That they travel in pairs because they mate for life.
Oh, like geese do, like yes. Buzz and his wife Marcia.
Right, exactly. So she should sharpen her axe and borrow Mike's night vision goggles and put on snake boots and stand point.
Do they come out at night more often?
No, I don't really think so. It's just the night vision, you know, she might get into that. And one question I had for you, Don.
Yes, ma'am.
Was she amorous towards you this weekend after or before she killed the snakes?
Both.
I suggest you go to a pet store and put them all in your yard.
Oh,
okay. All right.
Some sort of snake reference.
Don't know what kind of message that is, but thank you for the call.
Well, you know, she's a real woman, and she obviously loves you, and
yes,
I think
does.
It's great.
And I love her also.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
bye.
You. All right. Goodbye. That was a real lesbian calling.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
We could tell.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're good at that.
We got our gaydar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened to the lady with the call about Ozzy?
Ozzy Osbourne. Somebody had personal experience with Ozzy Osbourne.
Let me just find if that lady is still on the line here. Then we can listen to her when we come back from a break. Hello?
Hello?
Is this the lady who has the story about Ozzy?
No.
Who is this?
This is Elena.
Elena?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
Salisbury.
You sound like a child.
Are you?
Well, I'm nowhere near a child.
Well, what can we do for you, Elena?
That Puerto Rican dude that just called and called you that bad name.
Come on, you're a kid.
No, I'm not.
How old are you?
25.
What year were you born?
1971.
No, that would be 1996.
No, 1971 is when I was born.
71 and 25 is 96.
But I was born in September. So I'm 25.
I wish I was smart enough to figure this out myself.
Well,
we got a piece
well.
Of paper.
I didn't score well on that test.
But I was born September 9th, 1971.
And, were you calling to identify what that guy was calling us?
Well, the word that he used in Spanish.
Doesn't this sound like, is this Cody Gifford?
No, it's not Cody Gifford.
the rapidly developing Cody Gifford.
Hey, listen, I'm running late here. I got to do a break. What did he say?
Well, he called you a Spanish word for somebody who lets his wife fool around. Well, in English, there's a word for it. It's called whittle. W-H-I-T-O-L or W-H-I-T-A-L. One or the other, but it's the same word in English.
Whittle?
Whittle.
Whittle, whittle boy.
That's right. Yes, whittle boy. We have to go now, okay?
We keep you on the line, but you sound like you may be too widow.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Check the hole with a rory. Ra 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 ra.
Stop. Sing something else.
Hold
it.
jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. All the fun is to ride in our horsey open
sleigh. No, stop. Kitchen, bring food.
And I want to look them straight in the eye, and I want to tell them what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, fourth-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
The Don and Mike Show.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Wearing Cuban heels and cowboy hats. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Felicidad.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going? This is Dustin calling from Reno. We got this thing emailed to us, and we wanted to throw it over your guys' direction and see what you think about it. But first, I'm going to play it, let you hear it, and see if you guys can guess what this is.
Is this something you got emailed?
Yeah, someone emailed this to us.
All right.
It's a little video clip, but I'm going to let you hear the audio and see if you can figure out what it is.
Okay.
Here we go.
I love a good game. Sounds like animals having sex.
Horses. You're close.
Horses mating?
There's a horse in there.
Is there a guy with a horse?
No, it's a chick with a horse.
A woman with a... Because I thought Oh, my God.
It's a chick with a horse.
A chick with a horse.
Oh,
what
my.
Are they having straight sex?
Not quite. There's some fallacy involved, but it's more oral.
Wilbur. Oh, yes.
You've got an email address. I'd be happy to send.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course.
Send it to me at kenstevens.com. Can I hear it again?
Sure.
Now that I know exactly what it is.
Wait, horse is making a lot of noise.
Wouldn't the woman get trampled? Right? If the horse is real excited?
Oh, my God.
Think about that the next time you see one of those stupid commercials on TV about how great the Internet is.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's what it's really being used for right there. Nobody's doing business on the Internet. Guys are sending each other little snippets of girls having sex with horses.
Oh, man. Phil in Utah, this is what I got. I'm going to send this down line for you.
God. You think that's what Bill Gates had in mind?
I don't think so.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I don't know if he's got a lot of money. Maybe he's got a horse farm.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Sean from Austin.
Hello, Sean.
I have an interesting celebrity tidbit I'd like to share with you guys. A little unorthodox.
Did you see a celebrity with a horse?
If I had, I...
You know, sometimes I wish that we had the freedom to say whatever we really wanted. I mean, and we can, but we have to keep it clean.
Of course.
I'd like to have a real serious discussion about how exactly a woman would go about that with a horse.
It's something.
You know what I mean? The actual.
Notice who's chiming in right away.
Say, professor.
Yeah. I think it would be hard to discuss that. It might be better illustrated with pictures if you wanted to see those pictures.
Well, all right. Why don't you whip a picture?
I don't. I will simply say there would. I can see how it could be accomplished.
Well, of course, the horse standing there and she's underneath. But
right.
Like, have you ever seen a horse when a horse gets real excited and it kicks his feet back in?
Sure. I mean, when a horse, like, rears up
yeah.
and stuff like that. There could be. I think it would be tremendously hazardous.
Hello.
Sure.
It would just be very dangerous, I would think.
For
a young gal.
Yeah. I know cows are very, you know, they're very relaxed. They don't care much
much
about
more
anything.
Docile than
much
a
more docile.
Horse.
That's the word, docile. I was, you know, hence cow tipping and people you and I have known in the past that actually have had experiences with cows.
Yeah, I went out with a bunch of guys that did that one night. Really, in Wisconsin.
They sleep standing up, and they're so docile, you can tip them over.
And you're right there, you put your elbow into them, you put your whole, you know, like you're blocking them, and they just fall on their side.
And then they wake up.
You got to be drunk, though.
Yeah, I'm sure that helps.
That's the only time that makes it funny.
It's a prerequisite before you go cow tipping.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Okay, in 1995, I was a finalist in the Luciano Pavarotti voice competition, which is a national, or it's a worldwide competition, actually.
Are you a tenor?
Yes, I am.
Do you,
really?
Do you sound like Luciano Pavarotti?
Sing something for us.
Would you like? Okay, hold on a second. Let me hold down the phone here.
And make sure, keep the phone away from you so it doesn't get all distorted.
Okay, here we go.
Sing that great song, I'm Doing It With a Horse.
Can you hit an E above high C?
That's a little high, actually.
Can you hit your highest note? Just to, you know, that proves how good an opera singer you are. If you're
guys, I'm like at work. Yeah, I haven't warmed up.
Well, you did that. Go on. That was
come
good.
On.
Go on, please.
Okay, hold on.
Hit your real high note.
Okay, you want a real high note?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, that's very nice.
Bravo.
Very impressive. All right, now see if you can do this one. I love this one. I know it's not opera.
Hey, it is opera to most people. It's Dean.
Can you do this one?
I don't think I've got the style for that, guys. My parents didn't see me. Malamona, malamona, mina, kinda, mina, wanna
see ya. With the horse and the girl and the horse and the girl and the horse.
That horse he sure look happy.
And the 119-year-old lady, Sandra Bullock's mother, with a horse.
And they're all dipping snuff.
I don't think my $100,000 scholarship to a conservatory covered that genre.
So you won, huh?
No, actually I was a finalist, and I was told that I was too young. I was 22 at the time, so he kind of patted me on the head and said, "Very good, good job."
You entered this contest to sing like Luciano Pavarotti.
Yeah.
He ever fart around you?
No, actually, I have a much better tidbit about him than that.
Oh, another. This is a theme show today. We've got another celebrity story.
All right, yeah.
Okay, I was backstage preparing to sing on the first day, and one of the stage managers said the maestro is not in the auditorium to adjudicate, so he tried to get one of the RAs to go find the maestro, who was apparently back in some dressing room. So they sent him off, and about 5 minutes later, the RA comes back. Like,
listen, there's so much technical talk here. Let me help out our listeners. The guy with the stick, the guy is that the guy you're talking about?
The Maestro Pavarotti himself?
Yes, Pavarotti. They call him Maestro.
All right, well, then just say you couldn't find Pavarotti, and they sent one of the peons to go find him. That's what an RA is.
There it is. Okay, so they sent back this RA to go find him, and he comes back 5 minutes later with a completely ashen white face and says, "I couldn't find him. You have to go find him yourself." So the stage manager said, okay, and went back to find himself. Come to find out later on, after much craziness backstage, that actually Maestro was in one of the dressing rooms with one of the with some girl, I don't know where he'd found her, and she was providing him oral pleasure.
Oh, my.
And there was another woman in the room that was holding up his gut.
Oh. Oh, my.
Oh, wow, you can't get up.
I don't care if that one's not true. That's too good a story.
It's true.
You know, when they're that good, when they're good.
That's amore.
That's a dead horse.
Thank you.
It is a theme show.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don,
you know
Mike,
what?
Radio gods.
That, hi there. Walking in on that, mm-hmm. I think, would be more startling than walking in on a woman doing a horse.
Didn't we get a tape of that, though? Luciano just sitting there going.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, listen.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, this is Bert here from Rangeley, Colorado, little podunk town here.
Yes, Bert.
We're a big, huge fan of you guys, and, you know, there's a crew about 10 of us. We don't miss you any day of the week, and yesterday was the first day we missed you guys.
Yeah, listen, our apologies.
What's going on?
Well, we found out that the station was going to dump our contract, and we mentioned something about it on the air, and they pulled the plug. And, you know, we had a couple of faxes today from our listeners. Listen, radio is such a slimy business. Mm. This is why we rank on radio all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners called the station in Colorado that decided that they were going to cancel us. And where Grand Junction, Colorado.
Grand Junction, Colorado yesterday, right?
We got a fax from a lady, and it's like on her letterhead from work. She's a professional. That she called in and she said, what happened to the show? And the general manager said, we had to show those two idiots who has the power.
Oh,
that was the quote to her. That was the quote from the general manager. We had to show those two idiots who had the power.
There you go. There's the attitude. And I guarantee you, with that attitude, they are going to fail miserably.
Mm-hmm. Big time. You got to hear now. They're playing this terrible classical music. I called them yesterday, asked them what was going on. They said they couldn't get any local advertising.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that we had a woman call us and say that. Mm-hmm. And 2 seconds later, unsolicited, because we weren't being heard, we had a client call in, an advertiser call in.
It was a furniture guy that called in, and he said he's pulling his advertising, and you know, he would not advertise on any other show on that station.
Radio's a really bad business. I mean, I love radio. It's really my passion, but like the business side,
well, it
really sucks.
I think what you get with the GMs, some of the GMs and some of the PDs, occasionally you get that they want to do what we're doing. That's the bottom line, and that's why they say something like, hey, we want to teach those guys who's got the power. That's because they, for some convoluted way, instead of making money and doing what they're doing and being happy,
they want to get a pissing contest with us.
Yeah, and it just doesn't work that way.
Hello?
Yeah, all power to Dynamite. Don, provided you guys can broadcast from the jet, are we going to get a taste of the medicated Mike O'Meara?
Not during the show, I hope. No, I believe it will be a...
No, never during the show. And not with a morning flight, sir.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Although, I do have my standards.
It will be 12 noon local time.
Oh, afternoon. Oh, sure. They got Katie bar at the door. That's why I take that little drawer out with the fifth of vodka in there.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, we're doing great.
Speaking of radio, did you read yesterday that Pat Sajak is close to buying WNAV radio in Annapolis?
Yeah, well, no, I did read that in the Washington Post. Yeah.
Yeah. He's settling in.
Oh, I hope he puts Vanna on doing mornings.
Vanna, why?
His wife lives down, I guess, in that neck of the woods.
Wouldn't that be awful? Get fired by Pat Sajak? It's one thing to get fired by some jerk general manager, but what if you get fired by a game show host?
And he does it in that same way he works on Wheel of Fortune, you know, that kind of a folksy way. Well, I got some news for you. Okay, let's check it out. Yeah, you're fired.
Get your severance on a gift certificate.
Hello, if you get severance. Don and Mike, hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey. Hi, diddly ho, guys.
Hello.
This is Sacramento Freddy, and you know how you guys...
Sounds like Flanders.
Ding-dong-diddly-deus.
Ding-dong-diddly-deus. You know how you guys, on the Elvis Death Day show, brought up that rumor that Elvis was bisexual?
My boy.
Yeah.
Well, I have proof that Elvis was bisexual.
My boy.
Really?
You know, ding-dong-diddly-deus.
What would that be?
It's in the lyrics to Treat Me Like a Fool. Treat me like a fool, treat me mean and cruel, but love me.
All right.
Okay, all right. Somebody's thinking too much.
I love Don and Mike show. We have so many helpers out there.
Yes, we do.
Hello. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hello.
Is Mike there?
Yes, I'm there, sir.
Hey, cows don't sleep standing up.
I thought that's why you could tip them.
Well, you can't tip a cow.
Hey, listen.
That's a bunch of hooey.
You have never lived, I swear to God, on a stack of Bibles that in Beloit, Wisconsin, I went out in the field with my cousin Ronnie. There's the name again, Cousin Ronnie.
Yeah, I've heard about cow tipping for years.
Yeah, I was with him when we did it.
Right. That's the story, Don. I'm a mammary technician specializing in bovine lactation extraction. And
you're full of crap. You're to give me some Cheech and Chong. I'm the mammary.
No, he's saying he's a dairy farmer.
Milk cows.
He's a cow milker.
Yes, I am. I'm a mammary technician specializing in bovine lactation extraction.
But I've heard of cow tipping.
Listen,
hundreds of times.
It's a pointless conversation because I've been there and I've seen it done and I've helped. I've done it myself.
Okay, tell me how it works.
You know, we're going to get not only you done, but lots of calls because a lot of people have done it.
Now, thanks a lot, genius. Now, every idiot in the world like myself who's ever tipped a cow will call in.
Okay.
You drive in a field.
How's it done?
You drive in a field in Beloit, Wisconsin with Cousin Ronnie and some friends in a pickup truck. You get out of the truck. You walk up two guys at a time. You come into them like a blocking sled. You do it just like this. You lift up, and boom, they fall right on the side. Right on the side.
You've been watching too many Chris Farley movies.
Why don't you believe this, sir?
Because I know.
How do you know? I mean, if you're always milking them, you're not in the field when they're out there.
Sometimes I got to wake them up to get them into the barn.
maybe you got your cows, there's something wrong with them.
Oh, yeah, right. There's something wrong with them.
I'd check that milk. That milk might be bad.
Hey, listen, I got news for you.
Horses sleep standing up.
Hey, Einstein, listen, I got news for you anyway. I've been telling that story on the air for a long time before that Chris Farley movie.
Well, that's fine. Good, because it's the wrong story.
It's the truth. I swear to God.
No, yeah, right.
Do you swear to God?
I swear to God.
Do you have any children?
Absolute God.
Do you have any children? Do you have a mother?
You've got veterinarians and everybody else listening to this show.
Cow tipping.
One will call up and tell you that you're dead wrong.
Wait a minute. Wait. Are you aware of the fact that cow tipping is like in rural college towns is like
it's done all the time? It was almost a rite of passage for all of these Wisconsin yahoos.
It's just like snipe hunting.
No, it's not. No.
Yes, it's the same thing.
Hey, why don't you leave your credentials? Captain Idiot, and I'll make sure we get back to you with all the information about how wrong you are.
Okay, absolutely. I'll hold on.
Okay. Why did you think of me the next time you got your hand around a cow's teeth?
Well, yeah, that's always a nice thing.
Yeah, I know. I bet you followed up on that with a cow's teeth.
Cows complain because they get their teeth messed with twice a day every day, but they only have sex once a year.
Well, I'm sure in your little barn stable, they probably have sex 12 or 13 times a year.
No, I don't
if
think.
You know what I mean.
And listen, Farmer in the Dell.
All he needs is a stool.
Old McDonald. We did that. Hold on a second.
Okay.
You got your hand on teeth all day long.
Oh, boy.
I'm telling you, we did it.
Yeah.
We did it. Who is that idiot?
He's a dairy farmer, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, that guy on the phone's an idiot.
Of course he is.
Uh-huh. I went to school down in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech. Cows everywhere. That's done all the time by all the drunk guys down there.
Right, and as I mentioned, normally like guys like my cousin Ronnie.
Sure.
You know, had a can of red, white, and blue, whatever the cheapest beer was.
Nothing else to do in the town. What are we going to do? We're going to go cow tip.
Exactly.
An old thing. It's nothing from Chris Farley. Hello.
Don and Mike. Nush.
Hey, hi.
Hey, it's the Pumice Red Fox from Sacramento calling. I'm with you on the cow tipping. I went to an ag school, and the cows were so used to it, they would see you coming, or they would fall over for you. They were so used to it.
They fall over for you. That's a funny little visual there. The cow is sitting up there and says, oh, here they come again.
I think the first important fact is that cows do sleep standing up.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They do. That is... Listen, I lived in Wisconsin for a whole lot of years. That is a fact.
Our Sacramento people, you know, don't they have that big dairy thing out there?
Weren't they supposed to bring the cow by that had the plastic side on his belly that we did our show out there about 3 years ago?
You could see into the stomach of the Davis, California, where they have all those agricultural people.
Hey, I'm enjoying the cow and horse story, horse show. I got a horse story for you.
All right.
I was at a bachelor party, a 3-day bachelor party, actually.
Oh, boy.
And somewhere along the line, I looked over at the television, and there was a video of a woman, three women, actually, doing hand-to-hand combat on a horse.
Oh.
And they took it all the way through.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, my. Okay. Oh, my.
I'm very sure they did.
And he didn't mean hand-to-hand combat, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi there.
For any of you that might be concerned that they were being unkind to the horse.
The horses were loving it.
They were being too kind.
The horses were loving it. Yes.
Hey, listen, I just had a comment about the earlier comment on the punishment for people about cutting off their arms and legs. That way they won't commit the crimes anymore.
You mean breaking their arms and legs?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Well, same difference. Anyhow.
Yeah, you're just a little more enthusiastic.
That's right. Really, then you really got to worry about the people like Marv Albert who like to bite people.
Honey.
Yeah.
Honey, call Dr. Laura. Who knows what you're talking about? One stupid story that some professor we didn't even talk about.
Yeah, we haven't called Canada. Isn't it Canada?
Yeah.
Where the Mounties?
Of course it's Canada, Mike.
Where they take the Mounties show.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I got 6 months probation for hitting Yafet Koto with a snowball at Harbor Place in Baltimore.
You got 6 months probation for what?
Hitting Yafet Koto with a snowball.
Yeah, so you actually, the guy that's the star of Homicide?
Yes.
Really?
With a friend of mine. I didn't know who the guy was. And my friend goes, hey, Yafet, I loved you in some play you saw him on.
Which guy is that? I only watch that show once in a while.
The heavyset captain. The Italian
black
captain.
Guy.
Okay.
No, he's not the Italian captain.
Yes, he is. I mean, the character he plays.
Is that the show with...
Black Italian.
Is that the show with...
Black Italian, all right.
Yeah. With Richard Belzer?
Yes.
Is that the show?
Yes.
Yep.
I've only watched that show like once or twice.
Tape it in Baltimore.
I think so.
So we're walking along the water... And my friend says, hey, I loved you in this play. He saw him in New York.
Yeah.
And he says, F you.
Well, I'm sure it happened that way.
So I turned around and nailed him.
Okay. Yeah. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, there's one thing. Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hello. Who am I speaking with?
Don and Mike, the guys you have blaring in the radio in the background. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Sounding better now?
Yes, good. No, I still hear it, though.
Somebody turned it up again.
No, there's no radio in here now.
There you go. Good man. Good job.
Now that we've established that, what do you want?
Oh, I was calling. This is Don and Mike. Cool. I was calling
about... Are you some kind of moron?
God, hey, man.
How long does it take to process that?
Moses, I've been someone to tip
every
you.
Every time I call, I get hung up on by your helpers. Huh. So I didn't realize it was you guys.
Wonder why that is. Time for a raise.
See ya.
How often do you...
There you go. Right. Hey, good. I like it when that happens occasionally.
Okay, bye. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? This is Smokey from Idaho.
Yeah, Smokey.
I'm calling on the cow tipping thing. I've ranched my whole life, and I've never seen anybody do that. Cows are a herding group, right? And
you know, do you get the impression here perhaps the farmers are unaware of this, but it's everybody else around the surrounding people that are doing the cow tipping?
Do you work with cows?
Yes, I do.
Cows sleep on their feet, or do they sleep laying down?
They can do both, really.
There you go.
All right, but then the first guy said that they don't even sleep on their feet.
Yeah, the first guy who was Mr. Expert, you know, who wouldn't even say that he milks cows. He had to go through all the big 25-cent words.
Yeah, I would say he's a big dumb farmer, but...
As opposed to you.
Huh?
As opposed to you.
Yeah, no. I'm a rancher. I'm not a farmer.
You're a rancher? Like a cattle rancher?
Yes. Well, I work on one.
Really?
Same thing.
Are you a cowboy?
Yes, I am.
Out west, they'd say.
Hey, what did you call to say, sir? Smokey,
no,
the cowboy.
I just called to say that I've never seen anybody tip a cow over in my whole life.
Have you ever lived in the heart of the Midwest? In Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, Minnesota?
It doesn't matter where you live, though.
Well, you've never seen it. How does that have any bearing on whether it's happened or not?
Because cows, they're a herding instinct, and they know when stuff's coming. They warn each other about when something's coming, like danger.
When they're sleeping.
Exactly.
So do you think I'm lying to you when I tell you that I've done it?
I'm not saying you're lying. I've never
seen it. Well, no, hold on. Just because you haven't seen it, you don't believe it?
Hey, I'm around cows every day of my life.
When they're awake and eating grass and getting milk. At night, when everybody's drunk out in the fields from the fraternity house.
Okay, put it this way. When we're calving heifers at 3 o'clock in the morning, I've never seen anybody
When you're doing what to heifers?
Calving first-year heifers. A lot of first-year heifers, you have to help pull the calf with.
Calving. Well, if you're calving, aren't you under, like, a barn or something like that?
Not always. Sometimes you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, listen, you're dead wrong. I mean, I'm telling you, I've done it.
Well, I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just saying that I've never seen it done, and I don't...
And see, that's what the college guys do after they leave the bars. After they can't, when they find they can't have any heifers, they go out to do some cow tipping.
Well, I don't know. I've been up at Moscow Idaho School, too, and that's a big agricultural school, and I've never seen anybody up there.
Well, that's a good way to lead your life. Just because you haven't seen something happen firsthand, don't believe in it. That's a good way to live.
Well, I'm just saying, I've been around cattle my whole life, and I've never seen anything.
And
like
I'm
that.
Telling you that I've done it. I'm telling you that I have done it.
Ye have little faith.
I have done it. I'm an eyewitnesser.
I don't know, because I just think that you could... They know when something's coming, and they warn each other. And if there's
Not if they're sleeping.
Won't give up.
Listen, cows aren't that smart.
Why
do you think we eat them? If they were so highly evolved, they'd be eating us.
I didn't say
cows are stupid animals.
I didn't say they were smart. I just said they're
You're very sensitive about this. You don't like the idea of cows being tipped over, do you?
Oh, I don't care.
No, you really don't like it.
No,
you've been around them all your life. You've eaten with them. You eat with them. You sleep with them.
Why is it such a hot topic on our show?
I don't know.
Why are such stupid topics such hot topics on our show?
I don't care. I don't know.
You care, sir. You cared so much you called a national radio show. You care desperately. You care passionately. At least be honest about that.
No, not really. I'm not lying.
No, you're lying. You're lying. Now we think you're a liar.
Now we don't even think you're a farmer.
Right.
Okay.
Rancher.
No. Well, I mean,
a rancher.
And you don't own the ranch.
Yeah, you're a rancher like Ted Turner's a rancher. Like Larry King's a rancher. Like Lay King.
I love my big 10-gallon hat with my braces.
Lay King. Hello, Dynamite.
Hey, Dynamite, I got one for you.
Hi there.
It's Doc Kansas. Lake at the Boys Ranch. We caught this guy all the time. He's out there doing geese in the back. You would not believe it.
Oh, listen, slow down. You had too much information you were throwing out there. What was that?
Lake Lake Apton Boys Ranch here in Wichita, Kansas. This kid, we caught him all the time.
Boys Ranch is a correctional facility,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
A Boys Ranch?
Yeah. Doing geese.
You know what that's called, Boys Ranch,
sure.
Buzz?
Yeah, I grew up hearing about it, sure.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I was there.
What's it called? I might be able to understand it if you say it.
The Lake Apton Boys Ranch.
There you go.
Ask for it by name.
And the guy was doing geese.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, is this Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Richard from Alexandria.
Yes, Richard.
I just wanted to call let y'all know that I was traveling to Wyoming one day about 5 years ago. I was at a hotel in Idaho watching the boob tube, and I saw a public service announcement that actually said, please do not tip over cows.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, it causes damage to the side because of their weight.
That doesn't surprise me.
Sure.
Now, this is a credible call right here.
Yeah.
See, they're on TV telling people not to do it.
Get old McDonald back on the phone for me. The guy who really just wraps his hands around a cow's teeth, but had some famous, isn't that a great word, teeth? And you can say that when you're talking about cows.
Sure, absolutely.
Cows have teeth.
That's right, and he had flowery lingo to describe that somewhat ugly process.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
There's another guy who doesn't bite his nails like that.
That's for sure.
Hello.
Hey, man, I had a girlfriend. She was a heifer. I'd tip her all the time.
The Don and Mike Show, the show that makes its own butter.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
All right. I went to a show, and a woman did a donkey.
Sure. See, there are a lot of people that are on the fringe of this issue that are kind of getting off the central point.
Yeah. Hello, so to speak.
Yes.
The dynamite. Hello.
Hi, I went to school near Stanton, Virginia.
Yeah.
We learned the reason that this happens when they sleep, cows take time to go to sleep, they lock their legs. They actually lock the knees in place. This is how you can tip them.
Locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded.
Another credible call about cow tipping.
We did it every night.
Hey, do we have a phone number for that hayseed that called in and was such a pain in the butt?
I bet he calls back.
He should.
Thank you. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I got a story about a horse.
No. No thanks. Hello.
No.
Caught you there.
Good call.
I love this new delay, man. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Just thought I'd tell you, the guy that expert on bovine haloecation or whatever,
yeah.
He's no expert at all. I've been cow-tipping both in Wisconsin and Blacksburg, north or south of the Mason-Dixon line, cows sleep standing up and fall over.
It's a time-tested thing, man, and it was a rite of passage when I was invited out with my cousin Ronnie to do it with his buddies.
I have heard of cow-tipping all my life.
Yep. Great fun.
I've seen them fall north and south Mason-Dixon lines, out of location.
I've seen them fall.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I wouldn't talk to Don and Mike.
Yes, hi.
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 Is this Don and Mike?
Yes. Yes, it was. We have to break and we'll be right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, like this. Here, I want to put the nuts in. Okay. Yeah, there we are. That's for it. And we got it.
Yeah.
Oh, for one brief moment, I saw all the bolts silhouetted against the lights of the traffic, and then they were gone.
Oh, fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge. I said the word, the big one, the queen mother of dirty words, the F-dash-dash-dash word.
What did you say? What I thought you said.
Christmas is about resolving differences and seeing through the petty problems of family life.
Yeah. And it's about my mother accusing your mother of buying cheap hot dogs and your mother accusing my mother of waxing her upper lip and then they don't speak.
Your mother waxes her upper lip?
She has for years.
Doesn't show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don't want a lot.
They should know better. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Here we are. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, what that guy was saying about cows sleeping laying down?
Yeah.
The only time a cow sleeps when he's laying down is when it's going to die.
Hey, now see, now we got, are you a farmer?
Not anymore, but I grew up on a dairy farm.
There you go.
I took some classes on how to artificially inseminate cattle.
You have to take a course on that, huh?
Yeah. Really? They won't just let anyone do it.
Yeah. Okay. Then you have to scotch tape the instructions to the side of the cow when you're doing that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Unless you commit them to memory. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, great show, guys.
Thank you.
I was once.
We try. We sure do.
Do a good job.
With a little help from our friends.
I was once given a tour of a duck breeding plant.
This is a stupid show. This is a stupid fresh show. A stupid fresh thing.
And,
doing
and
the it, nasty to your ears. Your ears to the nasty.
This is Senior Love Daddy. Your voice of choice.
And that's the truth.
Ruth, I have your weather. Hot, hot. Yes, hello, I'm sorry.
Duck breeding. You got a tour of a duck breeding facility.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was one guy's job to extract the semen from the male ducks. They never had the male ducks never had any contact with the female ducks.
That would be a great job for Jeremy Coleman. He's wasting his talent as our program director making these fancy invitations for the ratings party.
The ducks were kept in pens, a few of them in each pen, in this room with high walls. Mm-hmm. And the ducks would charge the door when this gentleman came into the room.
Sure.
And when he went into the pen, they all crowd around him and wanted to be next.
He was easy to recognize. He's always the guy that would have soup for lunch.
Hello.
No sandwiches for him.
Don and Mike show.
Hello.
All the ducks were in love with that guy when he'd come in. Hey, there he is.
Man, you know something? If I had the free time and there was a tour available, I'd go see that tour.
Hello.
Am I on the air?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, we're great. Thank you.
Good. I'm a first-time caller.
All right. Where are you calling from?
Rochester, New York.
Thank you for listening on WHTK.
Yes. I like your show a lot.
Nice.
Thank you.
I listen to it, and I touch myself sometimes. Mm-hmm.
This is one of those solid gold days, ladies and gentlemen.
You do, really, huh?
I can't help it.
You stir the soup?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of thrown me off how it's delayed and it's not on until 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
It makes me sad.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
A lot of people say I look like Uma Thurman.
Like Uma Thurman?
Yeah.
You kind of sound like Uma Thurman.
I don't?
No, you sound like her. You have the same speech pattern as she does.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you do.
Or maybe it's just because I'm thinking of Poison Ivy stirring the soup right now.
Oh, absolutely. That Poison Ivy outfit where she's standing up on the pedestal during that movie.
Right.
Batman.
Batman.
Kill the heroes.
Death boy.
So you actually pleasure yourself during our show.
I do.
Why? You know, I have a theory that people cannot make love during our show, that the show requires too much concentration.
Well, I don't think so. I think it's nice having you guys with me.
Really?
I feel like I'm having a threesome, sort of.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
When is the last time you touched yourself and listened to our show?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, about how often do you do that during the week?
I would say maybe two or three times.
Two or three times a week?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, baby!
Woo! And I have to tell you.
Nice!
I love it when you say that, too.
Yeah. Oh, it's nice!
Nice!
And listen, Buzz is okay, but I think you guys rule.
Hey, well, that's a first.
Oh, my God. I don't think we've ever gotten a call like that.
I just needed to tell you that. It's confession day.
Well, it's touching day?
Well, okay, that too.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Well, so it does suck that it's delayed here.
You know, it sounds like you might actually be getting a little hot and bothered talking to us.
I am. I keep swallowing really hard.
Yes, you do.
Do you now? Oh, really?
Yes, you
do.
Is it soup yet?
Getting there.
So, what do you do in Rochester?
I do whatever I want to.
Really?
I'm a student.
Why don't you do what you really want to?
Well,
right now.
What are you wearing right now?
Red shorts.
Red shorts?
Yes.
Anything else? Just
no.
A pair of red shorts?
Just red shorts.
You're topless?
Yes.
Really? January. You're just wearing red shorts.
Yeah, I bought them for myself for Christmas.
Are they short shorts?
They're cute. Yeah, they kind of look like diapers, but cuter.
Oh, my.
You're topless?
Yeah.
Wearing red shorts right now.
Uh-huh. Sounds like you're...
Mommy!
Yes, this has momentarily stopped us in our tracks.
Well, enjoy the show as only you can.
Okay, I definitely will.
Did we ever get your first name?
Kathy.
Kathy.
All right.
Kathy. You wouldn't want to start enjoying the show right now, would you? How about if I'll put you on hold and you can hear the show piped through the telephone?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, we'll take another call, then we'll come back to you.
Okay.
You go ahead, relax, and enjoy yourself.
Thanks.
Okay. There you go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Damn, you gotta like those calls, huh?
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, boy, you know, talk about getting a cold water splash.
You know, that's really nice. Where's the sound effect?
This guy right after that girl, God.
Here you go.
Oh, man.
Instant impotence.
Oh, boy.
Hello. Boy, you can ruin a mood, sir.
All right, how are you? How are you, Mr. Splash in the ice water?
Hello.
Hey, not bad. I'm up here in Maine. You guys can come and have some of our ice.
Yeah, shrinkage. How you doing?
Shrinkage. Ow. Hey, listen, wanted to tell you guys, about 3 years ago, I was with a bunch of college buddies, and we were out drinking about 3 o'clock in the morning, and a buddy of mine got dared to go down and tip over this steer. I mean, this thing had big old horns. He tipped the thing over, and it got pissed.
Sure.
And it came after him and gouged him in the ass and threw him right over the corral. I've never laughed so hard in my life.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You redeemed yourself there, sir.
Very good story.
You redeemed yourself. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, it's old McDonald again.
Oh,
back.
Yeah, hey, smart guy.
Hey, I'm a smart guy.
Yeah,
hey, so who's the sex machine with all the ducks?
Now, come on now. Now, what do you have to say to all those people that were refuting what you
besides
said?
Besides the fact that I told you it's a life experience that I had, and I swore to God that wasn't enough. Now we've had all kinds of people calling in saying that not only were you wrong about cows sleeping on their legs, which they do, they sleep standing up, everybody tips cows.
Even a farmer, a dairy farmer, a guy that spent his youth on a dairy farm told us it's true.
I don't know. You know, the thing
wait
is, Don, when you went cow tipping,
yes,
was the ground frozen?
Yes, it was wintertime.
It was wintertime. Okay.
Yes.
Here in California, we live in what is called the Mediterranean climate.
Well, listen, don't start with the 10-cent words again. You're like that guy on Cheers, the postal guy.
You know, the best course of action for you, sir, is to simply admit that you are wrong.
I am not wrong.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm going to have to... Where are you? California?
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to drive out there this weekend just to tip a cow. Tip a cow on your head.
Come on, I got him. If you can find one to tip, by God, Don, I will tell you that you
so
are...
So you mean... God. Hold on. Listen, this is why I take it personally. I'm telling you, this is not something I'm saying I heard about or that I saw in a movie. It's something that I did.
And I remember the other guys calling that said they've done it all their lives?
Yeah, but the question is this. Was the ground frozen?
Wait, you didn't say anything at all about frozen.
I don't
ground.
Know if the ground was frozen. I know it was between the...
Because I can see if the ground is frozen, the cow will doze off on her feet.
You're just not going to...
There's a qualifier.
I still don't believe cow tipping happens.
You have already admitted that you're wrong about the cow sleeping on their feet thing.
I don't say they sleep. Not sleep.
And I'm telling you...
I did it.
And if my word's not enough, and I'm telling you... I don't lie. I swear to God I did it.
It's done in all weather, all climates. Do you ever...
Is that from you, Buzz?
Yes.
And you say so?
Yes.
And how do you know?
Because I, too, have heard about it. I haven't witnessed it personally, but I've heard about it all my life from lots and lots and lots of people.
No, it's not.
And you're having a great deal of difficulty admitting...
That you are wrong.
You cannot convince me I'm wrong. That's why...
What about the callers? We've had probably 20 people call about it. Well,
yeah,
I mean, what do you say? Are they all lying?
And the guy from Idaho said he never
heard. So you mean everybody that called, the guy that said that he went to college and he studied the subject, the guy who called from Maine and said he did it, the guy that called from Wichita and said he did it, they were all lying?
And what,
they all saw the same?
And what state of sobriety were they in when they said they did it?
Irrelevant.
What does that have to do with it?
What's that got to do with it? You can have all kind of crazy ideas when you're drunk.
How do you think cow tipping was invented?
By guys getting drunk.
And tipping over the cows. Not something you do sober. You know, you wouldn't be sitting there on a family vacation and say, listen, pull over to that road stop. I'm going to get out and tip over a cow, son.
All right, you want to talk to one more person? Here you go. And then you got to admit you were wrong.
No, I'll never do it.
All right, old McDonald.
Hello. Man on the planet.
Hello.
Have you tipped a cow?
Yes, I have.
All right,
talk to this man.
Okay, woman, lady?
Woman or lady? Well, okay. I'm a lady.
When you tipped it, was it in a frozen state? I mean,
Hold on. You're losing your credibility. Stop asking a question about how the temperature was.
No, I'm not asking about were the joints locked in the animal and it just fell over like it was like a piece of plastic.
Oh my God.
Hell, I don't remember.
You know, I only wish the JonBenet Ramsey's police investigation was this thorough.
All right, now, ma'am, tell us about your cow tipping experience.
Well, I was a senior at the University of Florida. Mm-hmm.
in Gainesville, and
gee, there's a winter climate for you, pal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's your.
She must be making this up, right? Is that what you think? She must be lying.
Well, did she just push it over, or did she actually tip it?
Well, what's the difference between pushing and tipping? They're about
you can catch a cow in a dozing state and push it over, but when I
you are completely you have admitted, ladies and gentlemen,
you have admitted it.
You admitted it.
You admitted it.
You admitted it. You admitted you're wrong.
Go wrap your dirty hands around a cow's teeth.
You've lost all credibility. That's right. We win. You are wrong, and you have lost. Yes, you have lost completely.
No, I have not.
It is total victory for us.
Yeah.
Okay, when you imagine tipping.
No, there's no arguing necessary.
You've already said that it can be done. And I told you, I did it. I swore to God. This woman says that she did it. All those other callers said it.
You have lost. You are completely vanquished. You have not won. You have lost. L-O-S-T. Lost.
You are a loser.
Loser.
I'm still not convinced.
Doesn't matter. You've lost.
Doesn't matter.
You have lost.
Go talk to someone who cares.
That's right. It's all over now.
Here's a quarter. Go call Elsie the cow.
We are going to be having the locker room party. They're going to be the loser's interview will be done in your barn.
Wrong. Well, you know, I'm not lost until I'm convinced.
Okay.
No. Listen, it's not a battle of if you're convinced or not. It's a fact.
Yes,
and if
lost.
You're so dense that you can't get the fact, then I'm sorry.
Hey, tomorrow, Don, let's talk about snipe hunting.
No.
Why? I've never...
Because it's just the same bunch of hooey.
No, there will never be another chance for you to match wits with us because you have lost.
Your time is over, sir.
This was your time in the main arena. You were in the octagon today, and you were unable to prevail.
Go back to the teats that are calling your name.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's actually, you know, all that fancy language. Actually, all I am is a teat tugger.
Yes, just, I know.
Yes, just go back to your sheltered lifestyle in your barn with the teats of the cow, and then go back to the farmhouse where you will sleep and never, ever be aware of cow tipping again.
But know this, as you go to sleep tonight,
yes.
You were wrong.
Yes.
You were proved wrong on national radio.
That's right.
You are a disgrace to all the dairy farmers in America.
Here, here. Bully! Bully!
I hope your cheese curdles. I wish that all of your, I hope all of your products go fuzzy and turn green.
Go fuzzy with mold.
And get moldy.
Well, I can always call it the butt cheese.
What, ma'am?
I could always,
No, not you, sir.
Not you, loser. Yes,
sir. I wonder if this gentleman knows that Elvis did some cow tipping also.
Yeah.
Oh, he wouldn't believe that either.
Oh, yeah. Well, I believe everything that's said about Elvis.
Yeah, tell us how much his colon weighed.
Hey, this lady's pretty good.
She's having fun.
Pretty sharp.
Yeah, do you know how much, sir? You, Mr. Dairy Farmer, do you know how much Elvis's colon weighed at the time of his death?
You know, you're getting...
Well, he was kind of bovanic at the time, so I would say like the average cow's... colon, probably about 40 pounds.
You are getting beaten worse than the Denver Broncos are going to get beaten in the Super Bowl. this is such a slaughter. Saddam wants to get in on this.
Saddam.
All right, goodbye. It's been nice pummeling you into the ground.
Well, I'm still standing, so that's
no, right. That's right. You're not standing. You're sitting down. You're lying down.
We just fell over.
All right, goodbye now. Hope a cow falls on you.
Yeah, okay. I hope it doesn't get tipped on me.
Take care, you bovine buffoon.
Bye-bye. Goodbye. Goodbye, Teeter.
Wow.
Teeter.
Teeter calling.
Teeter.
Okay, goodbye. Goodbye. Jane, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Jane.
Oh, shut up. Shut up, you.
Man.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Even in rooms of the barrage, I look
slow. Listen to me. Frank.
I can't think anymore, George. I can't think anymore. It hurts.
Where's that money, you silly, stupid old fool? Where's that money? Do you realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. That's what it means. One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me.
Incidentally, I know how you feel about all this Christmas business. Getting depressed and all that. It happens to me every year. I never get what I really want. I always get a lot of stupid toys or a bicycle or clothes or something like that. What is it you want? Real estate.
Where do you think you're going? Nobody's leaving.
Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together. This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here. We're going to press on, and we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny F***K. And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
You're goofy. Don't piss me off, Art.
Clark, it's over.
Not according to Santa's watch, it isn't.
Now, come on, son.
Stay out of this, Dad.
Clark, I think it's best if everyone just goes home before things get worse.
Worse? How could they get any worse? Take a look around you, Ellen. We're at the threshold of hell.
The Don and Mike Show.
Life, light, love, and luck. It's the Don and Mike Show.
You better watch out. You better not cry.
I just went in the back room there where the call screeners are, and I saw that Jimmy the intern had a fax that looked like a 10-year-old kid had sent it in.
Okay.
Hey, would you bring me that fax, Jimmy?
This is actually pretty cute.
So there's a little kid who's been calling the show,
mm-hmm.
I guess, all day long. And Jimmy keeps saying to him, you have to have your dad or mom's permission.
That is our standard rule.
Mm-hmm. So we got this fax. And this is such little kid handwriting. It says, I allow my son Tristan, and I won't say his last name, to call and talk to Don and Mike. Sincerely. And then he's written his dad's name.
And it looks like a kid trying to sign it like a dad.
Now, is this you, Beaver Cleaver? Tristan?
Yes?
Tristan, how old are you?
I'm 14.
Tristan, listen, we're not fooled by this. I'm no handwriting expert, son. But you wrote this fax.
No, I swear it wasn't me.
You were forging that handwriting, or was it one of your older siblings that was forging?
Who was it? Was it Lumpy?
Your sisters.
Was it Lumpy or Whitey?
Was it Eddie Haskell?
No, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
No, it was my dad.
No, it wasn't your dad, no. Tristan.
It was my dad. Well, hey, then... Here, do you want to talk to my dad? He's here.
Yeah.
All right, put your dad on the phone.
Okay, here.
Oh. Hello, Wally and Beaver Cleaver will not be able to do that.
What did I tell you?
Hi, Dad.
Hello. How are you doing?
What is your name, sir?
My name is Dale.
Dale, your son was saying that you give him permission to call Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Your name is Dale? It says on the letter your name is Darren.
A little misprint in the handwriting.
That was a misprint of the handwriting.
Where do you work, sir?
I'm a truck driver.
You're a truck driver.
Who do you drive trucks for?
He drives trucks for the state of Texas.
For
it's
the
like
state
a
of...
state thing.
You mean you drive trucks for the state of Texas?
Yeah.
And how old are you, sir?
Oh, I'm 16.
Well,
wait, you're 16?
Yeah, I had him when I was 2.
You had it when you were sick. All right. Listen, stop it, kids. I'm not running a daycare center here, okay?
Make your own fun. Go out, play ball. All
listen, right. Go watch TV or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I thought that was a real cute letter.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Wally and the Beaver.
Goodbye, boys. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello? You're on the air.
Hi, this is Chris.
Yes, Chris.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm fine. The reason I was calling is I had an interview with a radio station in Boise, Idaho.
A job interview?
Right.
What was the position?
It was for an assistant. It was to go out and get just sponsors for the radio station.
Oh, you mean like advertising?
Correct.
Okay.
And the first question they asked me is, do you listen to our radio station? I said, yeah.
What station? Was it our station?
No, it was 103. It was FM.
What are we on in Boise? Oh, we're on KFXD. Idaho's first radio station, 580 KFXD.
Yes, that's right. Okay, and they were asking me who I listened to between certain hours, and I told them the Don and Mike Show. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, the Spud Brothers are more raunchier than Don and Mike. And
the who's?
The Spud Brothers in the morning.
The Spud Brothers.
The Spud.
Spud like Potato Brothers?
Potato, Idaho Potato.
Oh, I thought you said Stud like Big John Stud. No, hey, the Spud Brothers with you.
No, the Stud Brothers is that name that we had when we, back in the 60s.
I know what you mean.
Anyway.
Hey, man, we're the Spud Brothers, and we're raunchier than Don and Mike, man.
Spud Brothers, kiss my ass, Spud Brothers.
So what happened?
So instead of having an interview, we actually got into an argument over who was raunchier. I mean, they were actually upset with me that I did not listen to the radio station between these hours, that I actually listened to you guys. And naturally, I didn't get the job, but it was just ironic to me.
You know, though,
I would go to an interview, and they would argue with me for 2 hours over...
Oh, my God.
The Spud Brothers.
You know, you might find it odd that we really don't compete for the raunchy title. We actually try to say we have a funnier show.
Yeah, we try to package ourselves a little differently than that.
You know, I have to...
But that's what they were trying to tell me. And, I mean, for 2 hours, they were like... talking to me saying, oh, no, you have to listen to them in the morning because they're, you know, they're so much raunchier, they're ruder, they're, you know, and I'm like, no, you guys have not, you evidently have not listened
Sweetheart.
To the Don and Mike show.
Are you attractive?
I don't know.
Oh, well, that might explain the 2 hours.
Well, no.
Who is the celebrity
that you most resemble?
I don't know. The only thing I remember is when I went in, he said, well, you kind of fit what we're looking for.
Mm. Yeah, but who is the celebrity you most resemble?
What are you wearing, like hot pants or something?
No, just shorts and T-shirts.
No, I mean when you went in on the interview.
Oh, I wore a nice dress. And
you wear underpants?
I look really, yeah, I look really
good. You have underpants and a bra on?
Of course.
Did you do the Sharon Stone thing in the interview?
Like light up a cigarette and just cross and uncross your legs continuously while Newman behind the desk was sweating profusely?
See, we're having, I don't doubt that you probably did go in on a job interview and you did say you liked our show, but I really don't think they'd spend 2 hours with you. That's
honestly,
an exaggeration, right?
Honestly, it did. And you know what's strange is I said, well, I'm going to fax my resume to you. And he said, no, we want to know what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the biggest thing. We want to know what you look like.
For our purposes, who is the celebrity you most resemble?
I don't know.
Oh, they wanted to know what you look like.
I don't.
Just answer a question.
Lisa Gibbons.
You know when they have an account executive position, sometimes they say we have an opening for an AE?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did they tell you that? Maybe you misunderstood. They said they had an opening for an FB. I mean, they spent 2 hours with you. They were very concerned with how
sure.
you look.
And if they were arguing about the Dud Brothers.
Well, evidently, for 2 hours, I guess that I passed what the look would be, right?
Did you sleep with them?
No.
Did you get the job?
No.
There you have it.
All right. Well, I bet you would have gotten it if you would have slept with them. That's what they were looking for.
No, they weren't.
Sure they were.
Sure.
They just wanted me to say Spud Brothers were more raunchier than Don and Mike.
You know, there's a little bit of my crap detector, too, going off here that you're just trying to get the name of that other show on as many times as you can.
Listen, why would we be concerned with disc jockeys in Boise, Idaho?
Who are on in the morning when we're not on.
Why would we care about that?
I think your goal might very well be to get the name of that. And see if you can talk to us without mentioning the name of that show.
I can do that.
Okay. All right, let's try a little experiment.
I don't listen to him anyway.
Don't listen to who?
The other people on the other station.
What other people?
You just said don't mention them. I'm not going to mention them. Forget about him.
Forget about him.
You know what? I bet she is real good looking.
Probably.
Not only that.
She has way too much confidence for a person of her obviously limited capabilities.
Jimmy, answer your phone.
You know, haven't you noticed that? Really good looking people, they got a lot of confidence.
Sure.
Does Jimmy answer the phone? Who answers the phone?
That would be Jimmy. Yes, Jimmy.
Okay, he thought I was 13. That was a real compliment.
He thought you were 13?
He goes, you're 13, forget about it. And I'm like, no, I'm not 13.
Well, ever since you probably hit 13 and then English became a second language to you.
It's probably when your breasts started to grow when you were 13. That's when you realized you could get everywhere with your looks.
Yeah, didn't have to try hard in school, didn't have to pay attention. Looks would do it for you, and obviously that's still the case.
No, he's really good because after I talked to him, he goes, okay, I know you're not 13, I was just kidding.
See, and also good-looking people will completely ignore things that you say like that.
Yeah, so dense, but gets by with her fantastic looks.
That's right.
Oh, come on, you guys. That's not fair, though. They just wanted me to say that I listen to their station 24 hours a day.
Who wanted that?
That station that I was going for.
Did you get another job after that? Like something maybe that's more suited to your skills?
I did.
Oh. You did? And what is your job?
Where are you working now?
I work for a pharmaceutical division.
She got involved in drugs.
That's the nice way of saying it.
Prostitution and drugs.
I've done a mic show, so therefore I've been involved
in drugs. Very sad.
Forget about it.
But you're happy. That's the important thing. You're happy.
She's got to be beautiful. She has to be beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I just thought it was kind of strange.
Do you have a boyfriend?
They were actually arguing with me of who was more raunchier and rude. And
do you have a boyfriend?
I'm married.
You're married.
How long have you been married?
5 years.
Any kids?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
I do.
You got any stretch marks?
Does your wife have kids?
All right, think about that for a second. Yes. My wife had kids. Mike's wife's had kids.
That's right. And did they have stretch marks?
Oh, my wife looks like Freddy Krueger. She looks awful.
Right.
Are you kidding? Forget about it.
You have kids, you have stretch marks. That's
forget
the
about
way
it. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
All right. Well, listen, I'm really sorry you didn't get that job at the other station, but thank you for calling our show.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank ye.
There she goes.
Yeah, here's a supermodel. I'm positive. So much confidence.
Yeah. I can't believe she did. Well, confidence is the name of the game when you're going to be an AE or an FB.
Fraud, baby.
Don and Mike Show, hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I don't think she'd be a very good AE, but I bet she'd be a fantastic FB.
Terrific. Absolutely. I'd like to see the resume, too.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
It's Don and Mike.
Yes.
Yes. You guys are super with a capital S.
Super. Thank you so much. We appreciate
hey guys,
that.
Listen, my sex life is pretty pathetic.
Well, I don't doubt that, sir.
Are you a man or a woman?
I'm a man, but I have both sexual body parts.
Oh, are you really? You're a hermaphrodite?
Are you really? Like Jamie Lee Curtis?
Let me tell you, it is great. It really is. I mean, it's so nice.
Hey, listen, hold on. Now, you're talking. Hey, Jim J. Bullock, you're talking with this affected voice, with this obvious sound like this. Are you trying to talk like this? Do you think that's funny?
Well, listen.
Talk in your real voice. If you want our attention,
talk in your real voice.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
All right, we're going to slow you down, and we're going to get to the crux of the matter.
Okay.
Now, what can we do for you?
Sex life.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty pathetic, guys.
Right.
I don't know what to do.
Are you a virgin?
No, I'm not. Actually, I'm 21 years old, and I'm not a virgin. I lost my virginity around 18 years old, mm-hmm. when I was 18.
So why would you call us? What's the problem? Sounds like you're pretty happy. 21 years old, you've had sex.
Since my 18th birthday, it's been pretty dry.
Listen, I mean this. I'm going to tell you some advice from the heart. Have you thought about paying for it?
I've thought about it, but, you know...
That would be my advice I would give you.
I live in Sterling, Virginia.
It doesn't matter.
It's just to go downtown. I mean, let's face it.
Are you a...
Man, you know...
Are you an ugly person?
Where you got bad acne?
In my Lexus.
What's that?
Sporting in my Lexus. You know, I got Jack-me written all over me.
Listen, you don't drive in Lexus.
Oh, believe me, I do.
And no. What is your problem?
I got your number.
Now, hold on a second.
Me, mister.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Jesus Christ.
The celebrity I most resemble.
Don't repeat the question, please.
I like Chianti and fava beans.
Oh,
we got one here.
We got us one here.
Right. One
I
here.
Need
get
my butterfly net, please.
Yeah, at the Rolodex. Oh,
okay. I smell Chanel number 5.
I bet you do. All right. Listen, thank you for the call. We got your number now and the caller ID. If we ever run slow on the show, we'll call you.
Wait. Stop, please, in the name of God.
What?
Stop in the name of God. That sounds very urgent.
Stop in the name of God before it's too late. What?
How was that?
How was
my vibrato? Tell me how my vibrato was.
Oh, are you all right?
Tell me how my vibrato was.
It was super.
Okay. I demand you to a vibrato. I want a vibrato contest right now.
Well, you pronounce it correctly.
I challenge you to a singing contest.
Yeah, but it's vibrato, not vibrato.
Vibrato! Try to beat that, mister.
I'd like to beat you.
I feel like I'm watching Scream all over again.
I'd like to beat you with a baseball bat.
I can't imagine what this guy's problem is.
Try to beat that!
This is very odd. Man.
Bet you can't beat it.
Man, oh man.
Try to beat it, mister. Bet you can't. Can't see you stink.
I think we should keep this individual on the line as long as possible.
Hey, you got it.
Bet you can't beat it. Go ahead. You talk a lot of trash. Bring it on. I demand this of you.
All right, now I've turned the microphone down so he can't hear us. Let's just let him go until he figures out we're not there.
I'm looking at myself in the mirror. Do you know that? Hello?
This is when sometimes it gets angry.
Speak!
Sometimes it gets very angry when
Dummy.
They do this.
Let's see if he figures out to turn on the radio and hear the delay.
No.
Oh, just hung up.
Yeah.
Hello?
No, he's still there.
Didn't hang up.
Didn't think he hung up.
He lives.
He's curious now. His head is cocked to that little doggy angle.
Why is it that we have that kick me sign on our back? Why is it that all these callers call our show?
They have nowhere else to go.
There was like three in a row. That was, you had the little kid sending us a letter saying that they wanted to listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the good-looking girl from Boise who was the FB. And then you have this guy.
They have nowhere else to go. This is their resting place.
They're lost.
This is where they come home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. And Don?
Yes, Mike?
You welcome them. As much as you might not want to admit it, you welcome them all.
I guess I do.
That's right. This is a depository. Now, what's he doing?
I don't know.
He's making some unnatural sound.
I heard that, too. Let me turn the phone machine up, and we'll see if we can get some better sound here. Now, it's just silence. That's almost scarier.
Yeah, it's almost like he's testing us. We love these.
See, we won. We didn't say anything. We didn't say anything. We've still won.
Hello.
See, he can't hear us. Listen, can I play a commercial here? Just leave this guy, leave this line open.
Probably still be here.
Yeah. All right. I'll just take all of the cartridge machines out of audition, so he won't hear anything, and then we'll go to break. Can we leave this? Leave at least pot it down, so he doesn't. So he doesn't hear the show on the hold system. I'm betting that after the commercial break, this guy would still be there.
Oh, I think there's a good chance of that.
Yeah.
He got really wound up there for a while.
Well, listen how mellow he is now, though.
Yeah, now that he's, that he thinks he may not be on with us.
No one to encourage him.
Does he have, you never know.
Did he hang up?
Does he have a radio? I mean, you would think he would have figured out this little parlor game.
Did he hang up?
Hello?
No, he didn't hang up.
He's still there.
He didn't hang up.
I think he's tapping the phone. Mm-hmm. Tap, 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 like the Raven.
All right, let's go to break. Okay. I'm tiring of this guy anyway. We'll come back and see if he's on the line. I still want to read you the stuff about women and their breast jobs.
Yes.
Okay.
But when we get a crazy, we just can't resist.
We love a good old-fashioned crazy.
He's getting agitated.
Oh, good. All right, then we'll go to break, and we will...
Oh, I think that might be the hang-up.
Was very angry.
Yeah.
Click, 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 click. Click, click. You think he's gone this time?
It's hard to tell. Nope. Yeah, he's gone.
No, that could be another fake-out click.
Yeah, trying to trap us. You know, we haven't come back on with him.
We're wiser than you. Listen to us. We're in a battle of the wits of the morons.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
We won! Bravo! We won! We won! We beat the idiot!
The VI. The village idiot!
Victory's ours!
Right. Excellent.
It's good to be king.
We're sorry. Your call did not go through.
Oh, all right.
Will you please try...
All right, let me... Hang up. Stop it.
All right, we're trying to locate him again.
430.
Mm-hmm.
It's a man. It's a man.
Right.
To call this number, enter 1. The line is busy. You will be notified by special ringing when the line is free.
Excellent.
Please hang up now.
All right. Thank you, lady. We'll... Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.